Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, man. And with the local DVD news, Ella Cool J with the Toyota comeback.
But tonight,
don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my peers. What's up with the fear? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, exploding. Overpowering, over the competition. I'm scouring, wrecking shop. When I drop these lyrics that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare stare. You better move. Don't ever compare me to the rest that are all get sliced and diced. Competition's paying the price.
Baby Boy Show or the Baby Boy the Cadillac Show on the Friday night.
Let me look at the date, because I... The 29th of August, 2014, on a Friday night. And that's again with Baby Boy, Childlike Joe, and we're gonna have an open house tonight. And I was talking to one of my buddies about something. But before we get to that, I just wanna give out thanks to the sponsors of the show. Clocksaw, Motor City Mafia. Go on to Clocksaw, it's free. Download, it's free. Y'all can go on to your mobile devices or your homelands, computers and stuff like that, and see what Clocksaw got to offer you guys, man. We got what we got going on here? Hey, Kay, can you use that mic? That mic got background noise in it. We got, back to what I was saying, though, we got everything on the site as far as Clocks Off, you know, Gunny Picks, Uncle Leroy, Lil Tony, Motor City Mafia, all those guys out of Detroit and stuff like that. So we got a few races that's coming up. It's, which is Big Sham and Uncle Leroy's race. We have the Big Drag throwing a tribute to I forgot the guy's name.
We want to
say,
Baby Boy, what's going down? The Cadillac on the
Cadillac
set.
Joe,
how you doing?
That
how you doing? Man, I'm sorry about that. Hey, Baby Boy, calm it down. I had a little background. I had to move around. How you doing tonight, Baby Boy? How y'all doing, Grudge World out there? This is the Cadillac. Baby Boy on the board. We just riding through. Baby don't know how to act because the top down on the lat, you know, just got beside it. So just picture how he rolled. He got his mouth all out, got his cigar in his mouth. But you know how that go.
Right.
But before we get started, we want to send a...
Look at little bitty.
Hey, he don't know how that. The girl's waving that. He just started throwing, showing off 32. You know what I'm saying? But we want to take a pause for the cause. We want to send the condolences out to Junior, one of our brothers. He lost his dad this past weekend. We want to tell him to keep his family in our prayers and everybody send... send them much love, man, because it's a trying time. That's what the Cadillac say. You got to love your family, man. Every day is not promised. When you hear, man, just call them up and say, I love you, because you don't never know when you might not see them again. But, you know, we want to send our condolences out to the family and everything. Our clocks off, brothers.
Yeah, that's 100. Junior, we love you, brother.
We love you, brother.
You're our friends. And you, Junior, your family, man, you're in our prayers, and we love you. And we got somebody going to lead us in prayer tonight. D, you can come on in and lead us in prayer, brother.
Junior.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Ooh, that killer. What's up, guy?
That's Leroy playing. That's Leroy playing again. Go ahead, Uncle D.
What's happening, guys? Just listening to me. Doing our usual, one brother supporting another. And like I was just saying, want to send our condolences out to Junior and his family. Let him know that we are thinking about him. We will be keeping him in our prayers. And Lord, make a way for him. Maybe be okay with that. So I'm just going to sit back and listen. I understand we're going to do a prayer for the family. At whatever point in time you guys decide to do that, just let me know. Sound like it, yeah? Baby Boy, yeah?
Yes, I'm here, D.
Yeah. Okay. Like I said, they want to do a prayer for Junior and Sam. So whenever you guys decide at that time, I'm going to go on mute. when you guys decide.
Well, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it right now, D. We won't get the praise
okay.
due all to God, man. We need to give praise, man, because you know this is the Grudge World, and you know this life
okay.
also too. You know, so do what you need to do, brother. And I'm gonna go on mute and let you pray, bro.
Well, we'll do it right now, then. Okay. To all the Grudge racers and the Grudge fans out there, we are one of our brothers, Miller Jr., who are, we know him as Puerto Rico Jr., but now he just called him Jr., but we understand he lost his father. What we're going to do, we want to bow our heads and take a moment of prayer, hope that the Lord will touch his family and gather them through these trials and times. This is a rough situation to go through. For anyone that hadn't been through it, you don't want to, and those that have been through it, you understand what he's going through. So at this moment, we're going to give him a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you once more and again. Just to say thank you. We want to thank you, Father, for the life that you gave them with their father and the time that they had to spend with them. Lord, we know that this earth is not promised to us. We know that this life is not even promised to us. For you said a man that was born of a woman was born of trouble and of a short while. So however many years that they had to endure with their father, Lord, we just thank you for giving them that time. Now we ask that you throw your loving arms around them and guide them through. Give them a mind, Father, to be able to understand that you make no mistakes. Guide their hearts, Father, in the right way. For this is a hard time right now for the Junior family. But we know that you're able. We know that you make no mistakes. And we know that earth has no sorrow, that heaven cannot heal. We know you're in the blessing business, Lord, and we have to bless your family right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray these blessings among many on their family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
We want to thank you so much for taking the time out to do that for our brother, man. We want to let him know that we love him, man, and God be with him and his family.
Amen. Amen. With that, we can't make it.
So how you been, Junior?
We got Brother Junior. Yo, what's happening? Hey, man, I'm doing my usual rough with that truck all day. Now I'm out here at the hospital. Getting ready to go back and chill out and listen to the rest of the show.
Okay. Well, man, anytime you want to step right on in, man, come on in. Mute your mic, man. Baby, we're going to carry it on and see what we come up with tonight. You know, it's a holiday weekend, man.
Yeah. I'm going to go on mute for a minute, but I kick back in a few minutes.
Okay.
All right, yeah.
Joe?
Baby, yes, sir.
Joe, you know, me and you, we're real good friends. I respect you, I love you, and you got the same respect and love for me, and I know you do.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
I keep saying this on the radio stations and stuff like this because, you know, It got merit to it, you know what I'm saying? So by having merit to it, that means meaning. If the listeners don't know what I'm saying, it has merit means meaning. And my meaning tonight is going to be about these talk shows having an impact on guys getting to the track, and when they get to the track, engaging. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, you can hear, kind of like we had a conversation earlier today. And you say, man, if you ain't this, don't say that. And you made the 100%, you said it. You said it. And so I'm saying to the girls community is this here. If you're not going to race nobody, if you guys want to come on the show and talk and just listen to everybody else talk about the topics that we have, like me being a host, a co-host, or what have you, I'm going to listen to everybody. When I go around the shops and when I engage with certain people that's in the world when I'm not on the radio and stuff like that, and they have good points, and then some of them have this radical stuff to say. I want to see these guys in the Midwest, man, engage more. And I want to see the guys that in the Midwest keep doing the same thing that they're doing. I'm not trying to put anybody down from the Midwest, including myself, because I'm a so-called, quote-unquote, fair racer. So since I'm a quote-unquote fair racer, I'm giving it out to the girls' community. Don't get on the talk show to threaten people, and you're not going to do it.
Well, you know what?
And you know you ain't going to wait.
Wait, but you know what, baby? I'm going to tell you like this here, Grudge Squirrel. This is how I'm feeling. I'm feeling some kind of way. And the way I'm feeling, what do the Grudge Racers think about the fans? Is the fans more important than the Grudge Racer? I think that's, you know, that's really something. Because we were talking about that earlier in the week. And a lot of cats say that the people, the Grudge Racers, don't forget about the fans. And I feel the, you know, I feel the difference because you don't hear too much about the fan no more. The fans are what makes drag racing exciting because the fans are the ones come out and see that special guy that they want to cheer for, like the Tony Bynes and the guys from down south and the Wits and all those guys and Donye and all the guys, SBO, the guys up here. But the thing is, these guys have so many fans, but do they really, really appreciate the fans? See, the fans, to me, the fans are very important, man. I think some of us, we done got away from the fans. We just get tuned in to us. You know what I'm saying? Because, see, you have these people listen to these shows, and they wonder, well, I want to go see this guy. And what makes a person want to go see that person? Because he liked the way that person talked or he like his car or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just real different now. You know, my thing is, man, getting everybody to engage, but I want the fans to engage, man. See, I'm a fan first. See, I like seeing this guy, and I like his car, and I like to see him match up with this guy. And, you know, and take it from there. I want to put a spin on it tonight. That's how come we call it open house.
Hey, Cadillac.
Yeah, go ahead, baby. Go ahead.
Do I have any echo behind me?
No, I can't tell.
Okay, so since you said that, you made a good valid point because this weekend I'm trying to frequent a race, and I'm going to be a fan because the pros going to be there, which is the NHI race. And I was taking, you know, everybody in my family just to go down and, you know, just to hang out because it's the last holiday that we have in the summer.
And those
people that I'm going to see, they have a very good attitude about meeting the fans. You know what I'm saying? They do have a good fan base as far as people. They charge a little bit more, and, you know, I understand that the world is going, they charge more, paying less type of thing. So what I'm trying to get at is this here. The fans that's listening, we have some good racing, man, that's going on in the girls' world, man, and you got to come out and spectate and meet some of us, man. I know I'm a real approachable guy. I don't think I'm a bad guy. I think I'm a guy that got a lot of wisdom and a young body. And like I say, it's a lot of guys that, you know, they might talk a little rough. They rough around the edges, but most of them like Big Drag and Mr. D and the rest of the Clocks Off crew and Motor City Mafia, you know, and they try to racing be racing, man. And I don't try to get into the politics of racing, man, because, you know, it takes away from racing, man. And the fans are everything, you know, because at one time or another, the guys that do have cars that be talking on these shows gonna be a fan one way or the other.
Right,
one way
that's,
or the other.
That's
he
what I'm talking
keep,
about.
He's not gonna keep on drag racing like that. His car gonna be down. Someone will be wrong with his car.
But
or
see,
something
hey,
because he don't have
hey, fun. Hey, but check this out here, baby. Check this out here. Now, before I became a drag racer, okay, I was a fan. Because back in the day, D'll tell you this here, we used to be up there on Cop. What was that? Up there on the west side on Kildare, behind the cemetery.
I'm in the costume.
Okay, up there. Okay, check it out. Dude, it used to, man, if it wasn't 500 to 2,000 people back there, man, it was something else, man. Them people just came to see a race, man. It could be two bikes that's a motorcycle, and they run down through there, and people be just so excited. You know what I'm saying? I like excitement, man. And that's what I want to see really come back to the game, man. Us drag racing against one another is cool, man, but I want to talk about the fans, man. If there's any fans out here, man, push the one button. Come on in, man. Y'all ain't got to sit back there in the bushes. Come on in and participate a little bit tonight. That's how come we have an open house, man. I know y'all might get tired of us talking about this and that. Come on in. Put your input in on it. So that's what I'm talking about, man. That's what family do, man. We're supposed to be all family and have a good time. It's the last holiday of the month of the year. You know what I'm saying? For the summer. So we need to get together and just fellowship and talk about what you want to talk about a little bit. But we used to do, we used to go out there to the lakefront, watch the races on the lake or on Doty Road in the hole, man. But we used to have some heck of five races down back through there. It'd be 5 to 2,000 people in the hole, man. And it wasn't nothing but a two-way street down there. Really, a one-way street, really. Yes, sir.
Hey, Cadillac, I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to ask you something, and I'm going to let the whoever that pressed the one button go in. You remember you started out, went to a guy's shop, and you know you going to a race, and you started there at 4 o'clock. You said you got to the guy's shop at 4 o'clock. You say on the west side, the meeting place was at Osi's on Fifth Avenue in Albany. We get over there. I was a kid. My dad would get off work. He'd pay bills. He'd do everything he had to do, make sure the house straight and everything else. And then we go right over there to the shop because they had something going on or he had something going on with a race. And sometimes kind of like, Joe, man, we didn't get in the house, man, till 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning the next day trying
that's
to
right.
either get the
that's
race
right.
off.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Or,
that's right.
Or seeing somebody else chasing another race. You see what I'm saying? Yes, chasing race cars. You see what I'm saying? Yes, chasing these cars.
You just said something right there. You touched on something right there.
Hey, baby, I'm back in this truck. I got to get in and get right out. But you're right about that. Those days you didn't get nice, you didn't get in till late. And, hey, I'm going to tell you another one. It was nice we didn't get in at all. We have actually
that's
spent
right.
the garage. Someone would go get a pan of chicken or some ribs or something. We'd eat there, leave the garage. It's been nice. We would leave the garage and go to the racetrack. Leave the garage and go home. Don't even change clothes. Wash your face, brush your teeth, go to the track. It's been nice. It's for us for the race. We would go from racing to shooting dice. I mean, it's been a minute weekend, that we have spent the weekend in Oakland. Back, your dad, you know, the older guys. It's been a bit nice we've done that, man. And
Okay, D, let me ask you this here question. Do you think that the fans, that the racers have forgot about the fans? Hello?
Okay, I heard them on the phone doing what they want to do. In some cases, Joe, I would say that, but I hate to just stereotype everybody. But those that made the half free help with that fan, like I heard you said, that was nice. We would be on Lake and Kill for him. I mean, you thought we were even concerned. It's been nice, man. We couldn't even race because some of you guys had to
race. So many people be out
on this freak. And it's funny because I was talking to a young man today about it. I know a guy on the west side. I'm going to get with Drag and try to talk to him. He's got Booga for film work. That's he'll tell him on himself. The film race, the good things that have happened here. But the world is the beast. The world is drag race. They can really see what's going on in this great city that we live in. when it comes to racing. I don't mean to step on Seth Klein, but when it comes to racing. I know I'm personally dragged, no, I'm going to talk with Greg and see can we get this guy to download some of the stuff he has. If I can get this guy to put some of the stuff on YouTube first. See, we never wanted to go on YouTube. This city never wanted that. But seeing that it's the way of racing now, I'm going to give him, see if we get him to put something on. If he can, the rest of the world going to see what we get on these shows and talk about is not a fluke. It was actually life.
That's real talk, man. That's what the youngsters need to see, man. Because, see, that's what got us out here. You understand what I'm saying? This was 4 decades ago for me. But we used to go out to Dodie Road, man, and be a car full of us, man. We used to take our girlfriends to the track, to the races. Man, you thought we was going to a big event every Friday night, man. The police, they'd be sitting on the 111 looking at us like, what is going on here? We all there trying to see a drag race, man. A drag race, a piece of metal with 4 wheels and a motor. Talking about get down. The next guy, he's been working on this car all week. He want to, everybody want to see who the top dog. But the thing was, look at all the people that it, the attention that it got from the people. That's what I miss, man. You go to the track sometimes, you don't see many people like you used to, man. I know things is kind of tight for everybody and this and that, man, but, you know, I miss street racing, though. I like street racing, but, man, these cars not too fast for the street. That's the whole thing. So you have to do things with a little moderation. You have to get a car from the dealer and have a little fun. That's a 13-second car and play with it. And you have more fun with one of them than you do with a fast car. Because you can go back-to-back with that joke and do donuts and all kind of crazy stuff like that. That's what I'm talking about. But we got anybody out there on the radio, hit the one, come on and speak in. Tell us what you think about it. Have your free falling. Add your input to it. Well, I guess ain't nobody out there. They ain't pushing one, but I don't know. See what else is going on.
Yeah, okay, like AJ. Sometimes you ain't hit that topic that they want to talk about.
Right.
You know,
right.
I have an agenda, you have an agenda, and until my agenda topic come up. You know.
Hey, man, I'm listening in, man.
Yeah. Okay, well, hit the one button. What's going on,
brother? Who you speaking with tonight?
Man, come on, man. Y'all cut that bullshit out, man. Who the fuck think it is, man?
Hey, Terrell. Hey, Terrell. Hey, Kevin, put me and Terrell in the private room real quick. Put me and Terrell in the private room
man,
real quick.
Gay, man.
Man, put me
man.
In the private room with you, sucker. I
want to
hear that.
Hey, hold on, brother. Wait a minute, man. Take it easy. Hey, hold
house.
On,
I'm
man. We don't have all
cover,
that.
Y'all.
We ain't going to have all that tonight.
Kevin, put me in private room with Eastside Strength.
I'm like putting 2 men in the same stall, man.
Man, come on.
Hey, guys.
That man hurt.
Hey, guys.
Yes, sir.
Hey, guys.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Long Island Joe, man. We also want to say a prayer for Long Island Joe, too, man. You know, Joe been sick, and Joe called in, but he wanted to support the show, but he let people know that he's not feeling well, but he's got a chemo appointment in the morning, so if everybody keep him in your prayers and thoughts.
Oh, no doubt, man.
Long Island Joe, listening,
yeah.
I'm going to tell Long Island Joe what the Buick boy said. Long Island Joe. We love you, Long Island Joe. We love you long time, Long Island Joe. I love you, Long Island Joe. That's a baby boy, man. Hey, Kevin, put me in the five room with Buddy, man.
Take
that's
it
my
easy.
Man. I know you,
Island
Joe.
Long
man,
Island,
better,
Long
bro.
Island, man. It's going to be all right, man.
Get better, bro.
As the Lord just bless you and keep you, my brother. It's going to be all right. Just think about the good days, man. You have
that's
more.
All
you
long
have
down.
More. Huh?
That's what's up.
That's it. You guys gonna have more long days, baby. Couple of dog days. That's all. It's all good, man. Keep your spirits up, man. You need to like call me, man. I get your number for Kevin, man. I call you up, man. I ain't know you down like that, man. We gotta keep one another in prayer, man. That's what we gotta do. All is one, you know. That's what we gotta do. But Terrell, how you doing tonight, my brother?
Man, I'm pretty good, man.
What you got planned for the holiday, man?
Oh, man, I'm going to lay back, be with the family. That's about it.
That's all good. Hey, Terrell, what you think about the topic tonight? We got an open house Friday here, just talking about stuff out here in the race world, man. You think the racers don't forget about the fans, or the fans don't forget about the racers? Which one do you think it is?
No, I don't think we forgot about the fans, man. You know, I think a lot of people just, I mean, I do it for the fans and do it because I like to.
That's what
the
I do. It for. I do it for the fans, man.
You know, and then some of the fans have, you know, to participate on my gambles. So, you know. Hello?
Hello?
That's an echo in the background or something.
Yo.
Go ahead.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's the fans, man. It all works together, man. The participants and the fans.
Yeah, that's what I do. If I do it for the fans, man, I see the bunch of fans, man, I'm going to put a little bit more power to the metal on it, man, so I can get one of those smoky burnouts.
It feels good when somebody comes up to you that don't even know you, even from another city or state, man, and they recognize you on YouTube and they see you at the track. You know what I'm saying? That makes you like, okay, you're doing something positive, somebody recognizes you.
That's right, man. That's it, man. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. We always get negative press, man. Like them youngsters up here, man, they laid there, and Jackie Robinson and the young boys, man, we want to send out a big cheer. Hoorah to them, man. They did a good thing, man. Them youngsters got up there and did their thing, boy. They champions, man. You know, a lot of times, you know, the young cats, they don't have nothing to look forward to but the same old, same old. You got to have something positive in their life, man, so they can see how it goes. And make them want to strive and do better. You know what I'm saying? Because it ain't easy out here in this world, man. The world don't owe you nothing, but you got to make it what you want to make it. You can make your bed hard, or you can make it soft. It's all up to you. Depend on what you choose. That's the whole thing right there.
I don't want to ask it.
Hey, who we got on the line right there?
You already know what's going on.
You got my cornbread. You got my cornbread.
Got that Joe, baby
Uncle
boy,
Larry.
What's going down?
Man, holding on the pole, man. Both hands.
Hey,
talking
Larry.
About trying to keep the flat out.
Hey.
Hey, Uncle Larry.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Cadillac Joe.
Yes, sir, baby.
Why do Uncle Larry sound like he phones me on the Colt 45 video or something like that? Come on, Uncle Larry, talk about it. I know you know.
No,
how you hold on?
I had to come in, man. And y'all know me. I'm always putting my little bit in, man, every now and then, man. I ain't forgot about the racists. I ain't forgot about the fans. I ain't forgot about the kids. I ain't forgot about none of that, man, because it take all of it to make it work, you know. And
that's it.
When one get too big for the other, then it's a problem somewhere, you know. So it take all that unit and that unison, man, to put everything together, man. You know. So with that being said, man, only thing I'm really trying to say, man, people make the world go round.
You know, that's what I say, man.
We have to have love for each other, you know. And the most important thing is love what we do. And,
man, we
and also the fans
love
to
the
see
fans,
what you do, you know. So it's all a combination, man. It all works together, you know.
And kind of like you said a mouthful right there with the fans. The fans make the racing keep going, because if a guy or a person can't afford it, he love racing. He just love drag racing. He just love it. So when he do get a couple more dollars, guess what he do? He get him a race car, and he goes to the track doing some things that he love to do. So it makes all the sense in the world to me, because it has sense to it, because everybody that's in the grudge game or that's in racing, they saw somebody else race. They was a fan also. They was a fan also. They were sitting in those stands. They were hot. They had wooden stands up there. It was going 1390, B103. No, that ain't the B103. What that is? That's 1390, 87th Street. Yeah, but they was coming to the track. You know what I'm saying? So it makes all the sense in the world to me, man. You know, if you love something, you like fast cars, and you like fellowshipping, and listen to Uncle Larry, how you doing tonight? Let me hear that voice. Uncle Larry?
You know why I promote fellowship, baby boy?
What's that?
Because I know that's the key. That's the whole key
that's
right
there.
That's
what it is. That's what I'm trying to always push with when I talk on different shows, fellowshipping, because that makes everything, because I met a guy last night. We were sitting down in the bar. I was hanging out with a lady. We were sitting down at the bar. We hanging out. She drinking. I'm drinking a beer or so. And we just hanging out. And I met a guy, and I told him about I got a show and stuff like that. He might be on the line. Listen to me, Mr. Lando. You know what I'm saying? And he, you know, he a veteran. He win the war and stuff like that. And he say he got a 67 convertible Mustang. And he's like, man, I got pipes on it, and I got this on it, and I got that on it. And I say, yeah, man, that's what's up, man. Just call into the show and support, you know what I'm saying, what we doing. And guess what, Mr. Lando? He way older than me, you know, and he was just talking about just life in general, and it made so much sense to me, Uncle Barry.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's the reason I call. That's the reason I call you from time to time throughout the week or whenever I can reach you or Cadillac or something like that. Y'all tell me the truth of how I'm supposed to be told and what's happening.
Well, that's
you know,
what it's all about, baby boy. That's what it's all about, you know. So it's like this here. Me, myself, personally, I'm speaking for Larry now. When I do something, baby boy, I do it from my heart, man. You know, and I was taught all the time that I was a child, man, how to fellowship and how to love. Because, see, it was a lot of us. It wasn't just no couple or nothing. It was a lot of us. And we had to learn how to love each other. Had we not done that, when our parents left here, it would have been a ball of confusion. You know, so with it being all that unison and stuff, and it being all that harmony between us and so far and so on, and all that negativity out, that's fellowshipping. You know, so that was passed from my mother's them generation down to us, and we passed it out to the world. You know, and the reason we passed it out to the world, because if it was a key for us, hell, we ain't no better than nobody else. It's a key for somebody else, too. You know, especially if a person want to be involved with it. If a person don't want to be involved with it, you know, then, you know, that's their choice. But I choose to be bothered with it because, baby boy, there's nowhere that I really can say that I could go but I don't run into somebody that I know. And when I do, whatever my circumstances is, I'm always able to get some help or give some help, you know, and that's what it's all about, man. You know, you can't get nothing with your fist ball up. You got to have your hand open. So my parable I'm making is you got to have your heart open also, baby boy, you know. So
and you know,
I'm just a fellowship type of guy. That's why Terrell my guy.
You know, Terrell know
it's nothing that he could ask me to do, man, that I wouldn't do.
You know, that's what it's all about, man. It's all about helping one another out. It's when we go to those tracks, whatever you need. You could call me and ask me if you need me to, hey, man, whatever, man. If I'm able to do it, guess what? I'm gonna take my shirt off to you. If you ain't got no shirt, I'm gonna give you my shirt because guess what? I can say what the good Lord gave to rain down from the heavens. So guess what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna give you my shirt for you won't get that wet.
That ain't what you gonna do. That ain't what you gonna do, baby boy. That's what you have done. I ain't just starting knowing you, baby boy.
Hey,
I've been knowing you a long time. You know,
I know that's
what you will do. You know, a lot of people might have a different opinion of this or that or so far and so on. But see, I know. So I can sit here and I can tell a story.
Hey, baby boy.
And, it is what it is, and it's been what it's always been as far as I was concerned.
Hey, baby boy, it's Terrell.
Terrell, talk about it, baby. I love you too, Uncle Larry.
Hey, since you said you help a brother out, man, I need 4 cans of C-23, and I need about 8 nitrous balls filled up. You got me?
I ain't got the money. If I had the money, Terrell, you was welcome to it.
I'm fucking with you, man.
When you need it, Terrell.
September 6th.
Huh?
September 6th.
You got it. In the wind.
I always got it, but I got a friend.
Kind of
like Joe, my friend. And guess what?
Kind of
like, tell him again.
He heard it. It's on. It's documented. That's all I got to say on it.
Hey, baby boy.
Go ahead.
Don't leave y'all owe me some lock-up money. He said, tell me 2 weeks to race me, and what day is it?
Hey man, he gonna lie and say, the man gonna lie and say, and when you talk to him, the man gonna lie and say, I told you three little car. He locked in with your car and his car, and this public radio, y'all can rewind it and all that old stuff and listen to it again. He locked in with your car. I think it was two weeks ago because I got it marked down on my calendar. I gotta look at my calendar. With your car and his car. Now, he gonna tell you, when you talk to him, Terrell, he gonna say, no, I didn't tell you that. I said it was with three little car.
Man, your man told me 2 weeks had his car together and down his ass out, he's going on me. I remember that. And I'm still waiting, man. My car been to the track waiting on Leon.
Hey, you know what? I'm tired of holding my tongue. I'm tired of holding my tongue with certain things. Now I'm gonna say something to you about what somebody said something to me about what they'll do to you. Yeah, it might sound like whoever listened, it might sound like I said I'm going back saying nothing. No, he said out of his mouth. Preacher Boy said, once he whoop Hootie, he gonna turn back around and whoop you. That's what he said to me. And I ain't trying to be funny. And guess what? I like both y'all in both races. Fuck it.
Well, hey, I'm gonna stand by my Preacher Boy. If he feels he got nuts to run me September 6th, I'll run Preacher Boy at September 6th. I try to run him in Byway, wouldn't go, but if that's what he say, hey, we can get down. Head up. I ain't giving him shit. But the right lane or the left lane. After I race through Lord.
That makes more sense to me because I don't be liking people. But I got love for three lug. You know what I'm saying? I got love for that dude. That dude fuck with me for real. But my thing is this here: I don't like nobody just be saying shit. And then when you be Uncle Larry's grandson. Me and you sitting on the back of Uncle Larry's golf cart at the track, and you drawed on that man. That man told you what, Terrell?
Well, fine. What you say about it? I'm sorry.
I said we was at the track.
Uh-huh.
We was on the back of Uncle Larry's golf cart.
That man, he said they had some problems. That's what he said.
Well. Only thing that I'm saying, I wanted to put it on the public radio because everybody be talking about, well, you know this and that. Y'all don't be talking it real. Okay, I'm going to talk it real tonight. Mm-hmm. Preacher Boy said he going to whoop Jaws first, and then after he whoop Jaws, he going to whoop you, Terrell.
Okay. Well, hey. If he don't get past the Jaws, no, he ain't going to get past me. Only way he get past me is I'll break it loose or how to get up out of it.
And they got like 5 million. They got 5 million saying got they say got dog three little gonna get away from him. If he do get away from him, guess what you did? You engaged with him.
Yeah, Three love trying to get back. Three love beat me, he beat me. I'm gonna run him again. Every year I'm gonna run three love, back to back. Every year three love gonna run. That's my man. We're gonna run. We're gonna put something on for the fans.
And that's what it's all about. That's what
he
we
beat
get
me,
at on the show.
He beat me, then I beat him back and forth. It don't matter.
And that's what it's all about.
We got two good cars, you know what I'm saying? He's a good guy, he got a fast car. If he win, he win. If he don't, he don't. I'm gonna try him again.
I will stay out of it. I'm gonna be a buffer. They call them buffers. So if you think I'm holding somebody else swipe, but they not, Cadillac Joe.
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm listening. Yeah.
Tell them about them nuts.
You want them soft or you want them plain? Or you want some?
So,
you want some banana nuts.
You know, they go ahead. Go ahead, y'all.
Kind of like Joe spilled some parmesan cheese on those nuts.
Hey, I got a new brand coming out. Hey, they call peanut butter.
You crazy, man.
Now, did you get that? Did you get that?
Hey, man, y'all stop. Y'all gonna start going, man. Y'all leave that alone. But you know what, Terrell? I was just getting at to the fact that, you know, everybody that listen to these shows and stuff like that, man, we got something good going on in the Grudge community. Visit Fox Office. Y'all want to see some good racing and stuff like that. The videographer, I'm not saying it completely right, but the guys that's doing these races and you got guys that's filming these races as well. So by you looking at that on YouTube and stuff like that, guess what you got? You got actual footage like you was basically at the track. You didn't actually was there physically, but you was there, you know, and looking at it, you know, so, and you get your output on it, you know, y'all are typing in, you know, social media, and, you know, Facebook and stuff like that, y'all are Facebook one another and stuff like that, man. I'm just so tired of people going in on other people about what they not going to do, and they be racing. I'm saying about the guys that be racing. From the dancers, the Brill Boys, to Preacher Boy, to the 901 Bad Boys, to Mandrill, to the whole to Pro Stock Joe, BT, all of them, man. They be at races, they be filming stuff, and you can get on the sites and see certain things, and you can see different races, Gunnet Picks, Detroit Hood TV, Peso Productions, what's the guy out of Detroit? I ain't going to miss your name, brother. I'm not going to miss your name tonight. On the videos. This is, what's his name, man?
Detroit Hood.
No, that's not Detroit, man. It's an older guy, man. Darsky.
Number one slouch.
Yeah, man, and, you know, and like I say, man, I be looking at certain videos and stuff like that. Miss
is
one,
the
two,
video you looking
at,
is it number
all.
One slouch? Is that the video
number
that
one
you're
slouch,
speaking of? Okay, get it right. Talk to him.
I want to get all the videographers they do, man, because they fans, and they and, you know, they be trying to keep the Grudge world together. In the cut, I love you, bro. You always got good thing.
Miss 1-2?
Yeah, I got Miss 1-2. I said Miss 1-2, too. All the guys, man, y'all fans, dude. Y'all doing y'all thing, man. I got to give it to you guys, man, because it makes a lot of sense to the fact that you can see it on public TV as well as listening to these actual guys that you looking at on YouTube or whatever. Engage. You can talk to them. Ask them a question or two. You know what I'm saying? If they willing to ask it, ask them, man. So the guys that's listening to the radio station, man, talk about it, man. I'm going on mute, man. Y'all, they kind of like Joe. Kind of like, hey, Terrell. I'm on here by myself.
No, babe, I'm listening in, man. I'm on mute.
You know, I just, you know,
by yourself.
Well, I keep saying hello,
hello to hello and hello. I don't hear nobody say nothing. I was just,
you know. But you said Cadillac Joe. You didn't say Uncle Larry.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Uncle Larry.
Is the event down at Michigan canceled?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Latona canceled out. It's supposed to be 70-80% rain tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, that's what I wanted to find out. Hey, but I want to send a shout-out, Uncle Larry. Real, I want to send a shout-out to Long Island Joe, man. He'll learn the weather, man. We're going to send a prayer out for him, man. And we all be praying for him and give him a call or something. Let him know, man, we got it. You know, just hearing our voices, that helps out a whole lot, brothers.
No doubt.
That's what fellowship do, right? That's what we are on this station here, right?
That's right.
Well,
we fellowship. And Jarrell, I got these nuts for you, boy. East side, strangler, struggler, want to be gangster. Come on in, holler at the lag, baby. Talk some stuff. Let's roll with it, baby. It's open Friday, open house, baby. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Jarrell, I know you heard what he said, right? I'm riding with the Cadillac Joe.
Got some clubs on.
What you say, man? I'm listening.
Break yourself, fool.
Cadillac Joe said, get your ass down. And I'm riding with Cadillac Joe when he said, Joe, talk to him.
Terrell.
Yeah.
Man, I'm about to go in the food fight.
Hey, I just want to know how you want them nuts.
You need to shut the fuck up when grown folks is talking.
Yeah, fool, man.
Hey, man, I just wanted to let you know I enjoyed y'all this summer, man. We had a good summer, man. We had a good summer. Tell the Lord thank you. And we still here having a good time.
Thank you, Father God. I really do. I really thank you for the opportunity to be here this summer.
Round noise, get you muting mic, please. We appreciate it. We're having a pretty good show here. Thank you.
Hey, Cadillac.
Yep.
I have one other thing to say, man.
Come on with it, though.
And the other thing that I wanted to say was this here. We have some of the greatest fans, man, in drag racing, man. The Midwest has some of the greatest fans in drag racing. When them people come, they come in numbers and they support, man. You know, and I just wanted to give a shout out to the fans, man, because I happen to be one too also. I'm not doing no drag racing. Lil Bro ain't doing none right now. But it's always been about the fans to me all the time, you know, because those are the ones that I mostly get a chance to meet and fellowship with and have fun with, but we have some great supporting fans up here in the Midwest.
Well, Uncle Larry, that's what I was talking about, because before I was a drag racer, hey, I was a fan, man. I used to come out Friday night, really Thursday night, Wednesday night on Doty Road, man, and watch Star Child. Who was the other guy? Bet You Can't. You had Rock Nim. You had Morton. Man, you had all the old school used to come out. Man, we'd be out there 5 to 8 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock, and some of us had to go to work. Didn't want to leave. That's what did it for me, man. I had to get me a car, man, because I wanted to burn out. I remember I bought my first car. I had a 69 Camaro. I had my girlfriend and my buddy, his girlfriend. We on Doty Road. Man, we're going to go down and make a pass. And this was so funny, man. But I didn't know no better. I was just geek. Man, get out there and whoop the car and did a neutral drop, man. Tow the whole rear end, the pig out of the rear end, man. And, man, them guys, they wanted to jump on me, man. I messed up the track. But, man, you just get geeked up sometimes like that, man. You don't mean no harm. You see everybody else do it, you want to do it. Because you want the fans to see you, man. I got a car, man, you know. So I think about the fans a lot. So when I go to track, man, I try to get the fans some excitement, something to talk about.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about the fans tonight. The fans, y'all out there, man, hit the one button. Talk to the Cadillac baby boy, Uncle Larry Terrell. Let us know how you feeling tonight. Come on in. It's the last holiday of the month, of the summer. Come on down. Let's holler. This is an open house tonight. Let's do this thing.
Cadillac, just checking in with y'all listening, man, but I'm sitting back.
All right, all right. What you been up to, man?
Trying to get that old Hemi ready. I got almost finished with it.
That's what I'm talking about, man. That's what I'm talking about. It's going to be all right. We're going to have some more. The Sixers next weekend, we really going to get down. The Lord permit, we had the weather. So we trying to go up here.
Good race weekend.
That's right. Everybody don't know this brother Drag on the line right here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, Drag, make an announcement about your race, Drag, the race you got coming up, Drag.
Oh, we got September the 14th, y'all, for everybody that don't know. We got September the 14th at Union Grove Dragway. The race is a tribute race to Big Walker. Big Walker is an older guy that passed away about a year and a half ago. He was a well-known dude in drag racing, especially in the Wisconsin and the Northern Illinois area. He raced a 70 Mustang called a Lively Ford, and everybody that knows him and had a Lincoln in it was a 7-second car. He was just a well-liked fella, man, and everybody, you know, loved Big Walker, and we miss him. So we got a tribute race for him and his family. You know, we got some grudge racing going to go on. We got index racing. We got the Midwest Mafia guys. Well, some of those guys are going to run with us. We got the Midwest Gas is going to be there. We got some of the Wise guys going to be there. We got the Nostalgia Pro Stocks going to be there. And we got a couple of, not jet cars, but rear engine cars that called and asked could they come run the show. So if they sure, we'll have a couple rear engine cars there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that date on that again, Drag?
That's September the 14th. Is actually on a Sunday, and that's the next day after they have COTS. They have COTS at Union Grove on the 13th, and we're the next day, the 14th. So, oh, yeah, we also have a 8-mile tennis tie race. I forgot to mention that.
Now, is that that's 8-mile race, right?
The race will be run quarter mile, but the tennis tie race will be run 8-mile because of the guys don't want to go further than 8-mile with those tennis tie cars.
Oh, okay. Okay, just want the fans to know. Just want them to know.
Yep.
I like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be good, man. We'd like to get a lot of guys there, you know, and try to make this show a big show. It's a normal 20 bucks to get in, you know, and children under a certain age is free. You know, it's going to be a lot of cooking and eating and, you know, racing and crap talking, you know.
Hey, Greg, well, that'd be me. I don't have to pay then. I'm under 20.
Well, you walk straight on in.
Big Drag, how you doing tonight, man?
What's up, baby? How you been making it, bro?
Man, you know, I had a rough week, but I'm here. I'm here talking to you, brother, so I'm okay. The good Lord made it to pass the way I be here, man. So it's okay. I ain't got no complaints.
Well, that's a good thing, man. You know, it don't help the situation at all, no way.
What's up, Big Drag? Swell, man.
What's up, Terrell? What's happening with you, man?
I'm all good, man.
Were y'all gearing up to go to Latoni tomorrow?
Nah.
It's been canceled.
I wasn't gonna go this week. I wasn't gonna make it this weekend, man. I'm waiting to
Latoni
race.
Canceled.
It's canceled.
Yeah,
it's canceled.
They got 80% chance of rain tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's kind of raining everywhere because it rained down in Indy. I got Raylo down there. He's been calling me back and telling me, but they resumed the race tonight. They ran off first round of pro stock. I mean, qualifying, and they run off the Hemi cars today.
What up, Greg? What up, Larry? D?
Hey.
What's going on? What's up, boy? It's Shaking Bay.
What up,
what's
what up, Shaq?
Yeah, man, we all a little disappointed over in the place, the county.
Well, you know something? This actually, we've been having good in September because I can remember down there rain every year around Indianapolis time when they had a big race in Indy. So we'd have to be down there in the rain delays and all that. So getting back kind of normal.
Yeah, you're right. Because back when we were going to St. Louis for the last time, there was a few times we got rained out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Drag.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, look, man. We go to the Big Bud shootout in Indy, right? My brother over there messing with Kenny Bernstein.
Uh-huh.
So my old man tell him we walking back to the car. So we can't find him. So my daddy said he'll find his way back. Man, it started pouring down the Indy, boy. My old brother come to the car. He had Kenny Bernstein signed his shirt, right?
Uh-huh.
By the time he got back to the car, it was a big drag all on his shoes. My daddy bought him some cheap shoes from Kmart or Walmart. My mama was mad. Say that's what you get. You need to step. You should have stepped with the crowd. You should have kept with the crowd. Man, them good memories, man. You
ain't
never landed out. It always ran the Indy though, Drag.
Yeah, well, the last few years last few years has been pretty clear. But you're right. You know, even in the years when we was going there regularly. I used to never miss Indy, bro. I actually raced there twice, run pro stock there twice, tried to qualify over there a couple times in pro stock, but I had a lot of fun in Indianapolis.
Well, Drag, I'm gonna tell you like this here. The good Lord allowed. I'll be
headed
that way. Rain, sleet, or snow. I'll be headed that way,
well,
brother.
One thing about Indy, baby, ain't no such thing as they making a rain date, okay? They're going to stay there till they race. If they don't get that race off till next Wednesday, they'll be there, okay? Yes, sir. Indy is the biggest race of the year for NHRA, so they is not going to let the rain stop them.
If it drives a little bit, they like to play on the drag.
They gonna get it in between. If it start raining again, they'll back up. And every time they get a dry spot where they can get their track dry enough to send them cars down that track, they go.
Yeah, that's that's what I was saying earlier, man. You know, that's the I think that's the misconception of guys that's really getting into the drag racing. Part of it as a later date in my life, as far as like now, because I was like looking at certain things that's going on in the foot game and the street racing period. And I was like, why are these guys ain't racing, man? These guys got cars, these guys got $200-$300 and this and that. We can race on the street. Never been to steal though. Go back there, man. Go South Chicago. So, you know, you can go certain spots on the street, man, and race, man. So my thing is,
what? You got to understand, baby, it ain't the same as it was. I was just listening, and I was doing something, and Cadillac caught my attention, and all them names he rattled off, those guys were friends of mine. Mountain Dude, Morton, all them dudes, I know all them dudes, man. We grew up together, US 30 racing. And at those times that Cadillac was talking about, those were opportune times. We don't have times like that anymore, you know, and there's more than one reason why. First reason is that the cars are just too fast for the street. The second reason is, you know, the laws are so different than they were back in the days when we were street racing. You know, police right now, they catch you street racing, they're going to take your car, and you don't get your car back. You know, at the worst, what happened to us back in the days, the police would sit there and turn the water on and make us to get the heck away from over there. Wasn't no such thing as them taking no cars from you or nothing like that. You know, rarely would even anybody even get a ticket back in them days. So, you know, the street race game done changed totally, man, you know, as far as the law is concerned. And, you know, with the new age and the newcomers and stuff, with the stipulations and stuff. So it ain't even, it's no fun no more, man. You know, I remember one time, this was long ago after I had come back home, dude, and I was still on paper, so I wasn't supposed to be getting in no trouble, man. We were sitting on the station at 111th Street, and I had actually was getting, I was eating. I had got something to eat out to Mr. Submarine, man. The police surrounded us all. Man, they wasn't listening to no reason or nothing, man. They took us and locked us all up, man. They locked us all up and charged us for mob action. You know, mob action was ugly, man. You know what I'm saying? I had to get an attorney and everything to get that mob action took off of me, or that would have been a violation, you know. So they done just run me clean off the streets, man. You know, I was sitting there eating. Yeah, true, granted, I was there to watch the races. That's what I was there for. But they also had a Mr. Submarine in the business, in the gas station where we were sitting. I had got me a sandwich. I was eating. What was wrong with me sitting on the premises and eating? But that just to show you what can happen, man, out there.
Yeah. And you know what, Drag? You make so many good points about just street racing in general. And one of them is about, you know, nowadays they take your car and they crush it. In California, you get caught with your car on the street, or some old mess with one of the laws they got there. And you get caught drag racing, they take your car and crush it in front of you, or they crush the car. Man, you got all this money tied in that car, you see somebody crush your car, you're going to be mad as all I know. So,
yeah, well, that's what they're doing, bro. That's what they're doing. It's all about revenue. Cal, I can tell you, you've been around as long as me. I can remember back in the day when we were younger, baby, if we got a ticket, the police give you a ticket for anything, not just for drag race, for anything. We would go to 321 North LaSalle, and the judge would call up about 20 or 30 people at one time, give you a lecture, and give you your license back. You know, no fines, no nothing, no go to court, go to school or none of that. You know, but it's all about revenue now. You know what I'm saying? You get a ticket, boy, you 95% going to have to pay something, you know, if it ain't nothing but court costs. Nowadays, it's all about the money.
Man, I got a ticket right down the street. And he said I went from left to center. And I got up in the courtroom. I said I'm from Chicago. I got set up there in the courtroom. Then this old cop come in there. He's the same cop that gave me the ticket. So when he come in there, I pleaded guilty to the case because I wanted my license back. I said, okay, cool, I can pass the written test again. I ain't got no problem with, you know, taking the test again to get, you know, to renew my license. I said, okay, cool, come on. You know how much, man, it was a $185 fine. When I got out of that place, dude, I paid almost $200 more. It was $385. They got court costs. They got the people that holding your ticket and your license. They got to pay them, too. They got to pay. Man, dude, I was out like $385, man. I said, are you serious? I must have looked in my pocket and know I had like $400 in my pocket. Like,
well, see, that's what it's all about, the revenue nowadays, baby. You know, ain't no, every little thing they do, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. It didn't used to be that way, but it's all in the politicians and all the way the world has turned, you know. These new mayors and these governors and senators, all that, they want money, man. They ain't trying to hit. You got to do anything any different than how they say the law, you got to pay.
That's what it is, you know, and you know, as far as the street racing and stuff like that. Drag, you got anything going on with your Ford, or what are you doing, brother? I just want to ask you a couple of questions, as far as, you know, the cars and stuff. I know you got something going on. I know you always keep something going on because you big drag. You know, you drag.
I didn't get. I went this week. My Ford is up in up in Lake in the Hills in my buddy's garage, and I went this week and put a carburetor on it because the carburetor was bad. You remember what it did at the track that day? It shut off on us. But that's the only thing I've done to it. I haven't put the carburetor on, fired it up, and adjusted the carburetor. I ain't been back out with it. We was gonna go this weekend with it, but it don't look like we gonna do that neither. But that's about it, man. You know, it costs money to race that car, baby. You know, if I don't do number one, go bracket race with it. If I'm gonna spray it that day, shoot, you gonna be out of $300 just to do that. And I'm talking about going to a local track.
Hey man, so. It really costs, man. And a lot of guys, there's fans that listen to me and Big Drag talking. It takes a few dollars to do. Just to get to the track, you know, just get to the track itself, you know what I'm saying? Just driving, and you're just driving your car. It takes gas money, it takes, you know, your food and stuff like that. You know, you got guys that's cooking at the track and that's willing to feed you and stuff like that. But it's just getting to the track itself, man. It costs, man. You go week after week after week, man. It's a bankroll, dude. It's a bankroll.
It takes money, man. It takes money. You got gas prices is down to $4 a gallon. Down to everybody. You think about it. Back in the days, we used to haul. You know, if we didn't have like a pickup truck or something like that, some of us were fortunate to have some ramp trucks and stuff. We could put our car on a ramp truck. But gas was only $1.75 a gallon at the time, man. Now you're talking about gas is almost $4 a gallon. Darn near everybody got some sort of a SUV. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be a Suburban, Excursion, a Tahoe, or whatever the case is, man. And even if they diesels, you know, the fuel prices is $4. You put enough gas in it to go to the track, you're going to spend $100 in gas. A round trip, then you got to buy racing fuel for the car. You know, I use BP fuel in my car. That gas $75 for 5 gallons. You know what I'm saying? Then you got to fill your nitrous bottles up. You got to have at least four full nitrous bottles. See, that bill can get over $300. Maybe then you got to pay to get in the track.
You got fans. Did you hear that, fans and whoever listening and the guys that do race? You heard what Drag said, man. It costs to go out and race these cars, man. And you know the fans that's listening in and stuff like that. You know that's just some of the insight on you know some of the things that these guys have to go through, getting the car ready throughout the week if they got a job and stuff like that. And you know, like Drag said, he got his car somewhere else and he have to do. He had to travel to get to the car to make sure he had to put the carburetor on and stuff like that and then get the car back to where he got it, you know, on the trailer and back to another track and stuff like that. It costs, brother. So, you know, like I said, man, I'm going to support these races and support Clocks Off and Motor City Mafia and, you know, and the girls community as a whole, man.
Yeah, I mean, I heard the topic is about the fans. You know, and without the fans, you know, really we are no one. You know, the fans are the ones support us. The fans are the ones that allow us to have a racetrack to come to race because without the fans coming to the track don't make no money. They don't make the money. You know, you can, for every car to come to
y'all
the gate,
y'all mic, man, whoever mic's mute, mic. Can y'all mute y'all mic? Can y'all mute? Hey, Kevin, can you find that mic, man? It's Drag talking, man. It's trying to put some skin on these people here. Go ahead, Drag.
What I was saying was, you figure, you know, for every car to come through the gate, there's a minimum 2 people in the car, you know, and you got 10 cars that come through the gate, probably compared to 1 or 2 race cars. You know what I'm saying? So that's, If you take that comparison, that's 8 more spectator cars coming in with minimum 2 people to pay to get in. That's the minimum. Most of them probably got 4 or 4 to capacity.
So what I'm saying is without the spectators, we wouldn't have no racetracks to go to because the tracks wouldn't be able to maintain on just the racers alone. So it's very important to have spectators to come to the track, you know, and like the guys in the South, they talk a lot about filling the stands and, you know, putting the show, having the show for the fans, and I agree to that to a certain extent, but the racer itself, too, got to be able to race. You know, he got to be able to come there and race. He got to be able to do what it is he do. But, you know, if you were to count what's, you know, the importance of the two, I believe I would have to say it's the spectators because without them, we have limited places to go racing.
What a drag. Now you said a good point about, you know, the spectators and stuff like that, frequenting the track and stuff like that, and you make a good valid point. I would want to ask you a question about the guys that's, and the people with their loved ones and stuff, you know, just sitting on the actual line, looking at the car burning out and stuff like that. It's cool, and y'all trying to bet, and y'all trying to $20 bet here, $10, $5, whatever y'all got going on. Now, I want to ask you personally, like, is that, like, safe, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, them cars getting up there and them people be around those cars launch.
If they, if they're on the inside of the track, where, when I say inside of the track, meaning on the pavement, inside of the wall or the guardrail, where the car actually is, no, it is not safe. And I hate to say this, but it's going to happen. That there is an accident waiting to happen. And the stuff that they be allowing to happen at 41 with all them dudes on the start line and they up close to them cars, man, something bad is going to happen, man. Somebody's going to get hurt if it be from somebody getting hit by a car, a wheel come off a car. A lot of these cars, 40% of these cars nowadays got side exhaust. If a joker break a valve or whatever, something passed through the engine, come out to the exhaust, that's something coming out of there like a bullet, bro. And it's going to come out of there. If it hits somebody, it's going to puncture them. That's for sure. So I advise guys that want to see the race and, you know, up and close, stay behind the wall. You know, you can still stand up there and watch, but be on the side of the wall to where you got some protection between yourself and whatever it is that could happen.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah, David.
Hey, what's that? What's
go ahead, Dave.
Tell you something. Yeah, Keith had told me he got the blue Monte Carlo now. He had a black Regal. He wrecked his car there at 41. And the question was asked to him, would he drive again? And he said, how can I be afraid to do something again that I don't know nothing about what just happened? He said when he hit the wall, it knocked him out. The car came across to the other lane, hit that wall, and Keith said the car had turned around instead of coming back toward the starting line. Now, you got 1,000 people out there in the way. Where you going to run to? You got to run over each other trying to run away.
Yeah.
For having a good Lord kill the car. Remember the grace of God, he said a bad return, it was something that killed the car. So he out there, he couldn't stop.
I'm going to tell you an incident that happened, baby, and I want everybody to hear this. And I think D was there. We was racing on Dana Fulton one time. We couldn't have been more than... We couldn't have been no more than 20 years old. If we were 20 years old, we were young boys, man. And it was a dude over there on the motorcycle. He was clowning, dude. He just running back and forth, up and down Damon and Fulton, up and down Fulton with that bike. Well, that bike got loose on him, man. That bike got loose and running to this dude. And when it hit that dude was down there. He was a little short dude, but he was a big husky kind of a type dude, man. Knocked that dude about 20 feet in the air. And when that dude landed down on his face, he was dead as a doorknob, bro. When the ambulance came and picked him up, all his internal guts just run out of his mouth, dude. So, you know, that's just, and I'm not saying that to gross nobody out, but I'm just letting the person know that what can happen, you know, out there fooling around with this stuff. You know, it's not safe, man, being that close to them cars, you know.
What you're saying is, like, the people, like, standing on top of the guardrail, get behind the guardrail, and you ain't got no worry. You ain't got in the concrete barrier. You ain't got no worry about the. And you know what? You know what though? We was at Martin. We was at Martin, Michigan, and when I don't know who was it. I don't know if it was Turbo GT or the other guy that wrecked his car, and the car went completely to the wall. And Peso, he put it on Facebook. He had that. He filming it, jumping out of the way. And I respect him because he know what he was doing at that particular moment. He was trying to get out the way, but he wanted the footage like dragged. Like, yeah, man, I'm doing it. You know what I'm saying? This what type of danger this is. This ain't no kiddie game. This 100. This. Grown man, grown life type material you're dealing with. And the car come completely to the wall, man. The car crashed, and he was trying to get out the way. And I'm like, dog, man, that was just, man, dude.
Well, we don't want to happen as fun turn into tragedy. That's what I'm trying to avoid. Our fun turning out to be tragic. You know, it start off as fun, and then you know, can turn into something be the worst thing in your life, man. So you got to be careful with that stuff, dude. And it's kind of like when Keith got hurt, when Keith wrecked that car at 41. I got verbal about it. You know what I'm saying? We even had a meeting when I was a member of Grudge Inc. about safety and stuff like that. And Denny got word of the meeting, and he listened in on the meeting, you know, and I didn't give a darn about him listening in on the damn meeting. You got to have what you need at these racetracks for these guys. I'm for the racer. You know what I'm saying? I'm not for the track owner. He can goddamn take that track and stick it up his behind if he want to, as far as I'm concerned. But when one of my friends done got hurt or injured in one of these cars, man, and it's a matter of time that you can save them, get them out that car, then, yeah, I'm gonna be verbal about it. I don't give a damn. You know, what do you think?
Hey, Drag, I was talking to Tommy. I was talking to Tommy with the Camaro, and he said, well, you know, you need to have a show about the safety of guys going to the track and what type of track they're going to and what you need to expect out of a track owner. And I never did the show due to the fact that everybody was just, you know, with certain different tracks and stuff like that, and not saying that, you know, 41 ain't no good track, but, you know, it's certain things that comes along with a person that's bringing a expensive car and running it at 41 more so than they going to Joliet or Byron or the other tracks around Chicagoland area or the Midwest area and going down the track, because you got the driver, life, death. You got your life, and then you got to talk to their family members and say, well, you say the car was safe, and why he get killed, and you know, and stuff like why he get hurt, and why he got, you know, it's a lot to do with that one car going to the track, and y'all say y'all going to race somebody.
Well, this is my opinion, and my opinion only, baby. 41 can be a good track, you know, but it's got crappy, the way it's ran. It's, the way that the track is ran is crappy. The owner of the track don't care about nothing but getting what he got coming from the gate and what he can make. Well, I got a problem with that, bro. You know what I'm saying? Because not only do I worry about I could get hurt at this track, you know, or something like that. Also worry about having a facility that'll hold my car. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not just talking about the high horsepower cars that's, you know, known for me to have out. I'm talking about something as simple as my Ford, you know, something that ain't all that fast. That track ain't no track gonna hold no car with no power, man. You know, and the race that Big Sham and I'm having here next week, that track will be perfect for them. That'd be perfect for the street. What type of car? The condition, in my opinion, that the track is in now, is that's about the best it can handle. You know, unless you do like these guys do
that when they have a big show there, they bring their crew to prep the track. And when they do that, that ain't nothing. They just come in and do that morning, man. Them dudes be done worked on that track a day or two to get it in condition to be able to hold what they finna put down on it. But if you go to 41 right now on a regular test and tune day, dude, you can't even get a 12-second car down the street. You know, I got one of my customers. He goes to 41 on Sunday, and he speeded his car up from low 14s, like 14.0, to like 12.80s, and that thing is sideways off the starting line. He cannot get no traction. He got drag radios. He got slicks. You know, the guy don't care. He just want to get that money and get done with the day. And it shouldn't be like that, man. You go to Byron, that's the people's track, man. They take care of the people. They treat the track. They treat people good over there. And I'm not just saying that. Huh? I'm not just saying that because of Byron is the track where I have my races at. That's why I chose Byron to have my race at, man. And then Union Grove, you know, that's another track that. But on any given good weekend of, a brawl, you got cars going 620s, 630s and a quarter mile over there, dude. You got to have a decent track there, dog, to accept something like that. You ain't going to see a six-second run at 41. They're going to need to prep that track for a whole week straight to make that track in condition to hold a six-second pass.
Byron's a beautiful track, man. All they like is having lights. They get lights, oh, man.
They got lights now, Terrell. They got portable lights.
Oh, yeah, lights now. Okay, okay.
Yeah, they got portable
lights. They got portable lights, but the thing is about it, they have a NOR's ordinance. So it depends on
Byron's finna become, listen to what I'm telling you, baby. Byron's finna become an evening racetrack. We're going to be able to run to 10, 11 o'clock at night. See, what they've done over there, they had an ordinance so long with the people not wanting the noise, but what BJ and them done, they allowed them people to have a concert there twice a year to where they it goes on to 12 midnight. And so after they've done that, they lift the ordinance off of it. All the neighbors are, you know, they're working together with him to allow him to have night races. So they've already had three night races this year.
Hey, Trey, I'm gonna tell you something. And I don't mean to cut you off. I'm gonna say this, and whoever listens, I don't care. Byron, besides Joliet, is the second best track in the Midwest. Byron, Illinois, is the second best track as far as hooking, as far as them cars going down the track, as far as them people have equipment going down there cleaning that track up. They number two to me because. Them cars, I don't care what kind of car you get and how fast it is. And I know the wild guys can ride a little bit, man. Man, dude, man, them people, man, they had them track hooking, man, at the brighter day in the evening. They had them track. And, Jack, you make a valid point, man, with saying what you said as far as the evening races, man, because I had saw some evening races with they had a shootout. They had about 2 years ago. I typed it up, Byron Drag Race, and then they had some class cars that was running during the evening time. And I'm like, Dad, why we can't run the evening time? That's a good track.
Yeah.
It's
going to become going to become a night race. It's going to become, just take time to do anything, change stuff over. But BJ working hard at it, man, because that man truly, truly respects his races, man. That's why you go to Byron. Look at the bathroom over there. Look how clean it is. It ain't a brand new bathroom, but it's clean, dude. They got a shower in there. It's clean. The toilets are clean, you know, with all type of paper towels and toilet paper and soap to wash your hands.
So,
dude.
Yep. Hey, Dre, they got like 75 paper towels over there to wash your hands. After you wash your hands, man, you get the paper towel and go back to the track and wipe your sweat off.
Yeah. Well, and another thing about Byron, too, bro, is look at the price of the food, you know, compared to the other tracks you go to. That stuff is reasonable. It's not way off, you know, it's not way off out of reach, you know, it won't $5 for a burger and stuff like that. He's got that stuff, you know, people friendly, man. And that dude really truly appreciates the fans, man. And yeah, I'm biased towards BJ. I got to be honest with you, between BJ and Ron Leak, I'm biased towards them because them guys are actually my friends. I've been friends with them dudes for 25 plus years, you know. But you can't take the fact about what I'm saying, you know, being the truth. You know, I'm telling you like it is. I don't particularly have anything against 41. I got a problem with Denny. You understand what I'm saying? But that's a whole different story. I don't dislike the track. I just don't have no love for Denny. You understand? For reason being and what went down and what was said, you know. But that's fine with me. And I'm not going to patronize his business. I don't care who rent the track. My brother could rent it. I'm going to give him my $20 and tell him I hope you do well. I'm not going to patronize nobody that, you know, feels that way towards me. You know, but I'm not asking nobody else, you know, not to. I'm just telling you why I don't be there. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people say Drag ain't there because why he ain't supporting them, these guys come this race. Well, that's the reason. I'm not there. And for those that need to know what happened, all they got to do is ask somebody. Everybody knows about what went down. But it don't matter to me to talk about it. And the track itself could be made a nice track, but, the management is poor. And ain't gonna never go nowhere with him in there.
Well, Drag, you said a mouthful, brother, and I'm gonna support whatever you say because Denny, 41, and all that old stuff. I don't got no personal problem with Denny. So my thing is this here: when Big Sham throws his race, I'm gonna support Big Sham and Leroy. Other than that, I'm doing Big Drag. I feel the same way, bro. You know what I'm saying? So, what I'm saying is, if I'm talking too much, tell me. If I'm not, you think what I'm saying? Listen, I'm just doing what I know what happened, and I'm gonna leave it at that. And Terrell, you can say something. And whoever want to say something, the mic's open. Y'all can talk, man, and talk about it.
Well, I want to say this before Terrell come on. This is towards for Big Sham and Leroy. Both of them guys I know. I've been knowing Leroy a long time ago when he first got in racing, the first car. Hold on 1 second. I'm converting you over to my car. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, baby? Can you hear me, baby?
Yes,
yeah, we
Drag,
can hear you.
I hear you real good, Drag. Go ahead.
Okay. When Leroy first started racing, I think his first race car, he bought it from me. You know, and Leroy used to be at my shop every day. But when he first started on the fool with a race car, he come around me first. So I got much love for Leroy. And Shaq, I grew up in racing with his daddy. You know what I'm saying? So automatically, you know, I'm going to like Sham. I like both of them cats a lot. Nothing to do with they race, you know, dude. I would rather they race be in California. If it was in California, I'd be there. On the 6th, I wouldn't give a darn if it was in Los Angeles, California. I'd get a flight and I'd be there at their race. But I'm just not going to support that track. Nothing to do with their race. That's all I got to say. So go ahead, Terrell. I'm sorry about that, y'all.
It means a lot when it comes from you. You know, you got a lot of guys that look up to you. If they older, younger, it don't matter, brother. You know, you got a lot of guys that, you know, don't like the disrespect part about it is what it is. So, I'm going to always support you, man, and I always love you, man, because you never showed me nothing different, so... Until you show me something different, then I walk up to you and Bob Official and say, you saw my gun and this and that and this and that as a man. And
well,
I know you way bigger than and as a man though, Drag, listen to me. I'm saying like, Drag, look, I feel this and that, that's just me and you. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, you know something, that's how men should do things and react, baby. The guys that hate and the guys that don't support, they don't have no issues with me. I ain't done nothing to nobody, man.
You know, if a joker got a problem with me, if I'll say this, if I done something to somebody, they crossed me. You understand what I'm saying? If they crossed me, then they got what they had coming. Plain and simple. You know,
right.
But for the most part, bro, I don't mess with nobody. I don't create no bull stuff. Y'all know I'm not with the chaos or all the nonsense, you know. Don't hate me because I'm good. Don't hate me because I'm good. That's one time I wasn't good. I worked to get into this point in racing, you know.
I want to fall off that for one second. And I want to tease at you for one thing. And I want to ask you a question by me teasing at you. Are you tired of these guys at the track always talking crazy? And I know that you cuss, man. I know you don't cuss. I know you don't use profanity, not period. Back in the day, yeah, that's something different. But by you being how old you are, and I being a kid, and I growed up to be a man, and you're an older man, what you going to do to the Buick boys, man? Have the Buick boys listening? You heard what I said. I'm asking Drag a question. And Drag cuss, man. And I want to see that before the summer out, Drag. I want to see y'all race, man.
Well, I'm able to run temp at any time. You know, DD stepped in and said he wanted to run, and I told DD, that's fine. I'll run you. Not before I run pimp, you know. I'm not particularly at pimp, but his mouth has made me want to shut him down. So I still own the Ford, and as long as I have it, he got action. Ain't nothing wrong with it, you know. Put some fuel in it, hook the nitrous bottles up, and let's go. I'm not going to run my car on horsepower, and he's sneaking us. That's on. If you want to run me, then put it on. You ain't got to sneak. Just put it all on. And come on, and I'll lock, like I told anybody else, I'll lock both pots in. I'll lock DD pot in. I'll lock Pimp pot in. So put up $500 a piece.
One second, Drag. I got one thing I want to say. I want DD to get to the line with this blue can I got, man. I want some of DD gun to gun. Get on it.
Oh, wait, these boys.
Can I get some of that? Can I get some of that Drag after you get?
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you can. But I want to say that I'm not just personally looking to run DD. Now DD ain't said nothing to me about racing. I'm particularly wanting to break Pimp's back. That's what I want. Which he is nobody. In my opinion, he's nobody in racing. But I want to shut his mouth down.
Hey, listen, I'm gonna let you cut. I just want the day Dad's a birthday. That's what I was just teasing with him. I was just teasing. You listen to Dad's a man. The Buick boys listen. I was just teasing with Dad. Happy birthday, sucker.
Hey, Jesse, you better not move, sucker.
The Cadillac, Drag, Baby Boy, Brother D, Brother Larry, Terrell, everybody's on the phone listening right now. This is the MI Crooked Letter, Mr. Big Daddy. And I'm just going to say it like a T.I. is. I'm going to give it to you. I've been listening. But this is the way it is when it comes to racing. Let me close now. 10% of the racers that you know are ready to go. 40% of the racers that you know, they one scared and the other one glad of it. And then you got that 50%. That 50% is the one that you don't have to worry about at all because they ain't going to bust a rotten grape in a fruit fight with cement boots on. All they're going to do is talk. And that's what it sounds like when
I'm
afraid.
Hey, Big Dad, what kind of boots you got on?
Cement boots.
Hey, Big Daddy.
Now you know you're telling the truth, Daddy. You know you bringing some action there, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
It's the truth. You know, it's the truth. A person like me, I'm just gonna say, you know what I'm saying? I go out and I race anybody on any given Sunday, but I just can't afford to go out there and race for no lot of money. You know what I'm saying? I can't afford it.
And I'm a big brother for that.
Big
Daddy,
you know,
$500 or so, and that's it.
That's pretty much what took me out the grudge game, Big Daddy. And, you know, that's the biggest part that took me out, because I ain't financially able to compete, you know. And if I can't compete on the level that I want to compete on, I don't even want to play around. I'm not saying that I won't grudge race the two cars that I have, but in order to go out and race, run with guys like Danier, you know, the boy that had the Buick that just sold
Killer.
I'm sorry, I couldn't call his name. Killer and all them dudes, man, you got to have a budget, man. You got to have some paper. And I'm not just saying it's just one dude that's doing that. You know, them guys got teams, you know, and they got a team of guys that put that money together. Unfortunately for me, we don't have that anymore. You know, there was a time that we could compete on all levels, but now we can't, you know.
Well, Drake, you said something to me a few weeks or a month or so ago when we were talking about this. You had heard me talking on the show and you came on. And back in the day, people had money like that too, but the thing about it was they didn't try to buy no races. They were in it for the competition.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the competitiveness of it. That's what it was all about. But, it, you know, the times have changed, the game has changed, and most people in there, a lot of them now, like Cold Killer and the Dunyays and such, those, the Tony Bynes, they ended up making money, true enough. But other cats, you know, and I listen to all these talk shows, they on there for the wolfing and talking crazy and never racing. You know, always finding some kind of excuse to get out of a race.
Mr. Big Dad, that's good and fine. That's good and fine if you race somebody every now and then. If you race somebody every now and then, you still the game needs you. The game needs you. So the thing is with you and Drag saying, man, y'all make so much sense about getting back basically to the essence of drag racing, because you know I saw guys race for $300-$400 and you know take the grocery cars, man, and go on the side street and they go racing, and you know that's what it's all about, man. It's about engaging and saying, man, you know what? I'm better than you. I'm better than you somewhere, somehow. Or, you know, that's what it's all about, Mr. Big Daddy, man. And I appreciate you always supporting us, man, and Drag, man. You a pillar in the community, man. You know, you somebody, dude. You know, you guys, man, D, Uncle Larry, a whole lot of guys. I'm not going to get into to calling names, but, you know, that's what the drag racing community, DV and the viewing point, that's what we need, man. We need for the guys to engage with these cars, man, because we have so much of a disrespect. We come from the streets, and then we're not being professional on these, if not the show or the track or stuff like that. That's the reason I asked Drag about the people being at the line, man. You don't see that at no NHRA event. You ain't gonna see all them people piled up at no god dog on line. Them cars are kill you, man.
But baby boy, it's like this, you know, I can speak for me, probably Brother D, Larry, Cadillac, a few others that's around my age. We are put here to be instructive and constructive, not destructive or disruptive. You know what I'm saying? Did you understand what I said when I said that?
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? We try to give you a better idea. It's always a better idea. Always. You know what I'm saying? You know, just don't follow it. You know what I'm saying? Become a leader, not a follower. You know what I'm saying? Leave your own race for one. Don't be a follower because you see Kanye do his thing his way. You do your way, whatever fits you, that's what you do.
Somebody got bad body. Can't hear Big Daddy that good. So maybe can you get them to mute their mic so we can at least hear what Big Daddy talks about?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? As I was saying, you know what I'm saying? We can't be like, everybody can't be Danier, Tony Bynes, or Tony Wright, or whoever those guys are that's always in the limelight like that. Everybody can't be that. So you have to find your own niche,
and follow it.
Well, it's all about season, bro. You know, we all been in season like that. There's going to come a time that Don Yenum ain't going to be able to do it. There's going to come a time that Tony Wright and Tony Pines and all of them can't, but it don't mean they can't go racing. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I'm going to tell you, the desire to want to race on that level, you know, probably will never leave, but, you know, the financial part and then the importance of family going to change on you too, bro. I can remember when I built my GXP. And this wasn't a long time ago, bro. This was in 2009. My gas got turned off at my house, bro. I lived in that house for 6 months during the winter with no gas. Three love to tell you that. You know why? He said, dude, man, you want me to help you, man? I can help you get your gas. I said, dude, I'm trying to finish my car. I ain't trying to get it. You know what I'm saying? But the desire that you have and the power you have and you know that you want to go racing and don't nothing else matter. You know what I'm saying? But at some point in life, fortunately for me, I could do something like that because I don't have no wife and kids at home. It's just me. You know what I'm saying? So I had one room with a heater in it, one room in my bathroom with a heater in it, you know, the one bathroom, and I was fine doing that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, fixing my car was more important than having my gas on in my house.
This is the way for me, drag is being for me. When I graduated high school, the wife I have now was pregnant. We had a child before I got married at 20 years old. I had a wife, old ragged-ass Mustang, and a kid, and we lived in the projects. But the thing about it was, for me, like I told you last week we were talking, I didn't let my wants overpower my needs. I did what I needed to do to do that. I've been married 32 years to my wife. We've been together for 36. We've been together since ninth grade. But listen to this. I have no brothers and sisters. I'm only child. My wife has eight brothers and sisters. All of them been home to mama. She has never been back there. So I took care of what I needed to take care of as a man. You know, I'm telling everybody on the radio now. I'm saying this is my personal thing, but I did this as a man because, you know what I'm saying, for me and her, her mother told us we would never last a year. And look where we at today. We own our own house. My house was paid for at 33 years old.
Yeah.
I'm 52.
Bro. Good, bro. That's good.
You know?
A good testimony, too. That's, you know, testimony like that. Let us know that, you know, it can be done. You know, fortunately for me, I got two homes, too, bro. And both of them paid for. But they ain't paid for because I put that car in front of them. You know what I'm saying? I bought a drive ship. I haven't...
Hey, Dre and Big Daddy, you know, one of my partners, Drag, you know him as a good friend of yours, and y'all been good friends for a long time. Lil Greg, he was putting his Camaro together, and he went to talk to my dad before he passed away, and they go to talking and stuff, and they sitting up there talking and this and that, and what I got out of it was this. He said, you ain't going to let your family hurt for no car. Lil Greg say, Slim, who you talking to, boy? He say, man, what you just said to me, I'm already doing it. And, it, you know, and that's what it's all about, man. It's all about living and learning and doing what I do what I want to do. I don't do what I have to do because I'm a man.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad showed me how to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes all the sense in the world what you guys just said, man, about living and with these cars and stuff like that and the trials and tribulations and stuff like that. You still a man. I'm going to still respect you as Big Drag. I'm going to still respect you as Mr. Big Daddy because y'all been through something. I'm trying to get where y'all at. I'm 37. I'm trying to get where y'all old guys at. Jesus.
Right. Baby boy, my oldest child is old as you.
Well, that's a blessing. That's a blessing, right, brother.
I tell you something, baby. We can only talk to him. I've been going to talk to him. It's not just to talk. You know what I'm saying? I hope that the people that's listening can learn something from what I'm saying. That's my main purpose, because I have
a ton of drag racing knowledge. You know what I'm saying? If we talk from today to this time next week, you won't be done got everything out of me that I have because I have so much. But what I am saying is, if you listen to me, you know, and take heed to what I'm saying, you don't have to do things exactly how I tell you to do it, but try my method. You know what I'm saying? It works. I know it works because it worked for me. If these guys are listening to what I have to say and quit thinking that somebody's trying to be their boss or tell them what to do or think they're better than them, you know what I'm saying, and use it, they'll find out soon that, you know, it was some good advice. If it's some BS, I don't know any of it because I'm not up with that. I'm going to say cut and dry. It's no different than somebody coming to me at the drag strip asking me a question about their car. If it's a question they ask me and I can help them, I'm going to help them. If it's something I don't know about, which is rarely is not too much I don't know about fooling with a race car, I just tell them, Brian, familiar with that. But if you listen to me and you take heed to that, it can't do nothing. It can't do nothing but progress you. I promise you that.
Well, Drake, you know enough people to put somebody in the right direction to get an answer for anything they want to. They want answers, you know what I'm saying? And that's my thing about it. I tell people all the time, some people, oh, you think you know it all? No, I must know more than you because you think like that. I say, but now, what I don't know, I can't tell you about, and I'm not going to tell you nothing wrong because it's not going to benefit me.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? It would do me good to be out there and baby boy out there working with his car and he can't figure it out, and I come up there and say, baby boy, you got a crack insulator on your spark plug. That's your problem. That's why you're missing it. You can't find it. I had that problem once before, and I recognized it. I said, check it and see. Then that's exactly what it is. And then it benefits me big time for baby boy to say, hey, man, big daddy came on and told me this, and I never knew that was even, you know, could be a problem or something like that. You know what I'm saying? He showed me something. That makes me feel good. That alters my ego a little bit more.
Right.
And Mr. Big Daddy and Dre, now listen to me. If I wasn't listening to y'all and I wasn't understanding and I was just big headed and I just got my chest rolled up and you tell me something that means so much to me and I don't listen to you, it's good not even telling me because guess what? I ain't going to listen no way.
Yeah, but
that's the ignorance of somebody that's knowing everything.
But you know what, though, baby? You know what? The conversation ain't for the ones that ain't going to listen. It's for the ones that's going to listen.
True.
You know, because,
you know what, Rick?
Just because we
it's
got...
It's still good to tell it to him, Rick. I'm going to cut
you
out, but it's still good.
Got to speak it. It ain't no different than like when we watched the... you remember the old Temptations movie? Blue and Williams. They had did that show, and he said there wasn't but a half a house. Man, we didn't even pull. We didn't pull enough. And Otis told him. Otis Williams told him, "Well, half a house deserve a good show."
True.
You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
That makes a lot of sense, bro. So I say that for the ones that's gonna listen and do something with it. For the ones that. You know, it don't matter, don't respect the opinion or whatever, then they lost, not ours.
But you know what, Rick? When I say it's still good to tell it to him, what's up, guys? This is D. Carmichael again. It's still good to tell it to him because if you tell it to him, Big Man tell it to him, I tell it to him, Larry tell it. You know, if enough people keep telling a hard-head joke of the same thing, it might. It just might get someone with him. You know, he might decide to listen one day. And then the day he decided to listen, he'd be like, you know what? I heard this years ago, and I found that it was true. And it may change his whole persona about life. So it's still good to tell it to him. And it do you good to tell a person something that you know. When I tell a joke or something that I know about racing, I feel like I done did my job, whether he listened or not. You know? So, yeah, it's good to tell it. And another thing I want to say to you while I'm in it, baby, I heard you speak a few minutes ago. I was just had too much noise going on about that money situation. Most of the time when these guys call these big pots, the man that's calling the big pot, he's only betting $500, $800 himself. Most of them are betting working man's money, but it's so many of them betting together. This is what got these pots out of hand, you know. if they just get money on. It's a lot of sad girls in drag race. If you keep these tracks down and do
got one knucklehead in that bunch that's out there in the streets and got that money that he don't know nothing to do with, and he'll come in there and then he'll be the one that caused that pot to be big like that. That one knucklehead.
One knucklehead.
Mm-hmm.
You sure got it right. Yep. That's the thing with racing. I mean, you know, even back in the days when I had money.
Hey, D. I don't mean to cut you off, but what knuckleheads y'all talking about? Y'all talking about just the regular knucklehead, or y'all talking about the knucklehead?
I'm your mama. I'm your daddy. I'm that brother in the alley. That's the knucklehead I'm talking about.
But I say this though, baby. If the knucklehead was in the street, it would be more racing because he'll make some racing.
Mm-hmm.
If he was in this, he would make some racing. Guys like myself, we wish for the days that the guys like the Puerto Rican Junior was back when he was junior. Knucklehead was in the street. Big June, Country. We wish for days like that. CW, Rabbit. We wish for days like that because them guys would make some racing take place. I've seen
Now listen, D, I'm going to let you say what you got to say. Now, the guys that you talk to on different radio stations and you say, well, I don't think you would have did that because we, back at one particular time in the city of Chicago, we would come, if we thought you was fast and we heard about you was fast, we come to find you. Big Drag was at one point particular time, I know personally, if you was fast and you had a name in the South or anywhere in the country and you say you was fast, man, the Chicago boys coming there to see what how fast you is. Go ahead, D.
Well, let me kind of go off course here a minute. Are you speaking of the, because I like to respond to things in order. You're not speaking of the show that they did Monday night when I was talking to Rock, are you? Baby Boy speaking of when I was speaking to Rock the other night on the special show. That sounded like something I said to him. You know, and if so, then I stand behind what I said. He said he didn't know there was racing here like that. And I simply said, how could you not know the second largest city in the world race like that? Chicago is the second largest city in the United States. And I said this earlier. Drag know him personally, and I know him. I'm going to talk to Drag after the show, see if he talk to him. And even if he give him some money, I'm going to try to get this guy to take some time out to download some of the show, some of the film work that he have, where guys like guys in the South can truly see what Chicago was about and is about. And if we can get them to do it, they're going to see some unbelievable, unreal drag racing that's taking place here. You know? It's just a matter of getting them to do it.
Brother, it's like this. I'm just going to put it to you like this. People should, I don't care who you are or where you from, anybody that was fast. I'm here in the South, down on the water here in Mississippi, in the MI Crooked Level. And right at Hattiesburg, and I'm just going to say some names, and Drag know them, and you know them too. You had, this was before By the Cold, you had the BT Express Boys, Willie Cully, W.T. Keys, Houston Collins, and a few others down there. And I know good and well these boys were so-called the fastest boys around here in Mississippi, but I tell you what happened. It didn't even have to be Fat Tuesday. Drag them coming out of Chicago, come out and race them boys. And take that money back to Chicago.
I get knocked down sometimes about saying this, but I still say and I stand behind it very strong because I know it to be true. We race 9-second cars in the city of Chicago on the street when them guys were putting glass packs on cars thinking it was fast in the South. Now, I'm not taking that from the South now because it just came a long way off. It came a long way, them guys are fast now. But the truth is just the truth. We were fast way longer before they started being fast.
The reason that the dudes that they have
Hold on one second, Dre. Let me say this here. I had a Buick in 86 that would have went down south in Clint House with probably 80% of the gas down there. We had Chevrolet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, that's the kind of true.
Well, in defense of the guys in the south, you know, you got to remember, in the big city, back in those days, you know, things wasn't as accessible in the south that it is now. You know, you had to get out there and drive 20 miles to get to a McDonald's down south back in the days. You guys know that. My family is from Macomb, Mississippi, bro. Big Daddy knows that. Every time I come down at a race, that's why I go to Macomb and stay with my family. So, you know, my heart is in Mississippi, but I live in the north in Chicago. I was raised in Chicago.
The office and all them from right there in Macomb with you over there, the Lamptons, and I know some of my folks over there, the Halls over there.
So what a joker got to understand, when the internet hit the public, when these guys, the down south, really could get one of these chassis like we had that they couldn't get, and now they got access to Rear Morrison and Sonny Leonard, and it wasn't because them dudes didn't have no money. You know, a lot of them dudes had money down there, but they didn't know what to get. Now they got the money, and everything is accessible to them now. That's why the dudes in the South did up so, more so than they did back in the 90s and 80s. You understand what I'm saying? We just had access to all this stuff. That's the only difference, man. We ain't, just because we're in the North don't make us no better racer than the dudes in the South.
He was just faster up there.
Most people out here put a hot motor
in a car. You know what I'm saying? They put a hot motor with a cam in it. That was it. And they think that they were running, you know what I'm saying? A 13-cycle car back in the early 80s was a fast car. You know what I'm saying? There were a few cars, even back now. We had one guy back in, like, 78, had a little Vega station wagon with a 327 in it, and he was, like, 16, 17 years old in school. His name is DeJuan D's. His brother Tony D's down in Florida ran Olympic track on the Olympics. He went 11.07 back in 1978, and that was flying around here then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the other people that was going faster than that was people like Paul Vanderly or Freeman Rushing or, you know, somebody like that. You know what I'm saying?
Ricky
the white Clark. Guys. You know, that was it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ricky Clark and Hattie Bird, you know what I'm saying? People like that. Nobody else was going in the nines. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Melvin, how you feel? I feel real good, man. I feel truly blessed to be in this Grudge game, man. And I'm sitting here listening to the history. Come on, Andrew, I think you stalking Drag for that race again.
And no. I'm just going to go back to my earlier days of drag racing. Maybe I'm going to go back to, like, 1980. I had a GTO with a big block Chevrolet in it with Nikes on it. And it had no seat belts in it, no roll bars in it. And my buddies would go to the track and run 1040s, 1030s all day long and come to the service drive where I stayed at. And I put 05 cars on them with that GTO. So I just feel truly blessed at the cars that I done had coming up in life and how much fun I done had in this drag racing game. And when I raced drag up there at Byron, which I didn't get a chance to run him, I ran his partner, the feeling how good I felt on top end when I just heard my motor wide open was a good feeling to me. That's what I think about every day, is how that motor sounded to me. And that's what gets me off and makes me so proud of this game that I'm in today. You know, I don't really worry about running all these high-profile guys anymore right now because I don't want to put my motor through that. The motor that I got, I can put it through that, but I know I'm going to tear it up, and I don't have time to, you know, build another motor like that. So I'm going to just stay away from it. But I just want to thank the Lord for the day, man, because of all of the fun that I done had drag racing. And I'm going to go back on mute. Y'all having a good show, man. Let's just keep it going.
Hey, Melvin, we appreciate you, man, calling in and supporting us, baby boy, Cadillac Joe, man. And we want to see some more of you. If you got something going on, we're going to come down, support. We're going to come up and support it in Detroit. And whatever you got going on, brother, you know, you're a good brother, man. That's all it's about, man. It's called fellowship, man. Uncle Larry, you a mess, man, and gave us fellowship in this Bros community, and it makes so much sense, dude. You gotta have people that support one another, you know. So I love you. I love you, Uncle Larry, for giving everybody in the Grudge community the knowledge of fellowship, man. It makes so much sense.
Oh yeah, and that's what it's all about: fellowship and having a good time, man. I know I didn't have myself a good time with it, and I'm still having a good time with it. You know, I see everything that go on today. I don't comment on it. I just I'm just hoping they just get it all straightened out so that we can keep on going. You know, I feel like people like me and Big Drag, we paved the way for it to be like it is today. We may not get our respect like we want to get it and everything like that, but these roads that's paved today for these guys to race on, man, we bust our butts to get it to where it is today. So, like I said again, I just take my hat off to the Lord for letting us still be here to watch everything that's going on, and I hope everything gets a whole lot better. And we get our youth involved in it, and they can keep the road going for us. That's all.
Amen.
I'll go back on mute.
Amen. You know, Greg, let me say this right quick, man. I'm going to hush and shut up for a minute. You know, now around 83, the most dangerous car on the coast down here was a 1976 Cadillac with a 500 engine. Uh-huh. They took an older model 500 engine and put in that car. And this was the first black guy that I know of around here that had nitrous on the car. He bought a cheater system and put on it.
Uh-huh.
That man won so much money with that big car because them guys with them race cars were spotting and couldn't see him.
Mm-hmm.
That went on for almost 3 years before they found out he was spraying gas.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know nothing. They, you know what I'm saying? They didn't know. They never expected it.
Right.
That's all I want to say. I'm back. I'm going to be quiet again now. I'm back on mute.
Gentlemen, good evening to y'all, man.
Hold on.
Right back.
What's going on, Big Mark? How you feel tonight, man?
Hey, I feel good, man. I got in kind of late, so I'm coming in on the end of the show. I just wanted to say, hey, you know, I'm sitting back supporting. Hey, how you doing, Larry Drag? How you guys doing tonight, man?
All good, man. All
right, bro.
All good.
Yeah, we're looking forward to your race, man. I'll be there just like I was at Byron. You got to support you.
I appreciate you, bro. I appreciate you.
Yeah. Hey, man, I came in, and maybe it was a bad end on the conversation, but I came in, and you were talking about an accident, somebody getting hit and knocked up in the air. Where did that happen at?
Daniel Porter.
Okay.
That was probably in 1978, 77, somewhere up in there. When was that, D? Around what time did that happen, D? D must be in the truck. It was around 78 or so.
I had put a mute for a minute. That was around 77, 78. I keep saying 78. Mm-hmm.
That brought back
a bad. If you remember, that was another incident around that same year on 60 in the Kill One, a guy. We couldn't get him out of the street for nothing. Well, Monk Wrench, I had just ran the dust through there.
Monk Wrench hit him. I remember that.
Knocked the bumper around the guy.
Yeah, look, I was when the guy got killed on Dirty Road, got knocked up in the air. I was standing right next to him, man. I took one step back, and it missed me, and it hit him and hit his cousin. And I seen the man go so hard. Huh?
That was a white boy, right? Tall, skinny white boy.
He's a black guy. He got hit by, what was that old Camaro, 67 Camaro? I think it was called Lockjaw, I ain't for sure. But, I was out there, man, and that brought back a flashback to me, man. I mean, I wasn't even a half a foot away from the guy. I was lucky enough God let me step back one step. The mirror on the car or the doorknob, something hit my T-shirt. But just hit him dead. And, to this day, I can't even remember what the guy looked like. I can't picture his face. It's always blank.
But, yeah.
Hey, brother, quick here. baby. Can I have a minute? Cadillac, can I have a minute?
Go ahead, D. We just going in, you know, about this this drag racing thing.
Right.
This is a very good show, man. It's a knowledgeable thing, man.
Well, I asked for a minute, brother, because I want to go away from racing for a minute. I had something that happened to me Tuesday, man, and we all have been faced with it, and we'll be faced with it again. But I just got to say this. I was standing in the store. I'm going to try to make this real quick. I was standing in the store buying my junk that I have for the week in my truck. A lady walked up to me out of Clear Blue. She said, what kind of meat is that? I said, spice ham. She said, can you buy me in the key or something? Other than knowing, man, I told her, look, get with me that mess. I ain't trying to hear that because I know it's on gang. But for some reason, the good Lord wouldn't have said nothing to her. I got me a pound. I went back and asked the lady to give me a half pound. I got two loaves of bread, peanut butter. And I went to get it fine. The lady had put another loaf of bread in my basket. And I said, you put it in there? And she said, I don't put it in my basket. What you doing? And at the same time, the Lord bottomed my tongue, man, where I couldn't say no more to that lady. So I went on and paid for my stuff. And I left a half pound of spice ham and a loaf of bread. Now, I'm getting to a point here. I left a half pound of spice ham and a loaf of bread on the conveyor belt. I said, that's yours. And I walked out. And she didn't see what I went. I went and got in my truck. I said, I'm going to watch this lady and see where she go. And at the same time I said that, the spirit told me, said she can't sell that. She got to eat it. Anybody going to buy it from her? I knew them would go out the backside. The lady went to the front, and I went out the front behind her. And, man, as I come down the street, she was fixing sandwiches. Passing them out to her and the kids. You know how a dog be when he been outside all day and had his water, how fast he try to drink that water up? That was just how fast she was eating it. That's her, but they were eating those sandwiches. And it kind of like touched me because so many times we'll say they own game and we won't give them anything. And the point I'm making that, man, if someone comes to us and we hungry, if we got a dollar that we can spend, buy them some food. I'm not going to ever say give them no money, but buy them some food because I felt bad after I gave it a half a pound. I feel like I should have gave it a pound then. And I really felt bad when I seen how bad it was, you know, gobbling this food up. But with it, I'm going to get on back out the way now.
And you know that right there. That's what I be saying, man, about these shows, man. You never know what these shows bring out in people, man. Because, see, we all go through a test in life, man. Everybody here gets a turn. Everybody falls off. But it's not that you fall off. It's that you get back up, man. And you reach out. And it goes back to where Uncle Larry started about 2 years ago when I first started listening to these programs, man, about fellowship. You never know what a person is going through because sometimes their pride get in their way. They don't want to ask. And then you have people just like D said, you don't know who running game, but sometimes you just like just give in because the Lord will touch your heart, man. He'll touch your heart. And the reason I wanted to comment back on what D was saying, because I had somebody did that to me. I don't, you know, I'm a type of guy like this. If I see you in need, I'm going to help you. But you got to show me you're trying to help yourself. It was a brother at my church. He came to my church about three weeks ago. So he was standing outside. And, you know, I'm a deacon in the church. I go around, make sure everything is, you know, secure. And, you know, I look out. You know, I make sure the sisters get to the car and this and that, da, 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 da. So the brother, he was standing there. So he say, Brother Maurice, he say, hey, man, listen. Man, I got a job interview. I'm trying to get you for Monday, man, for Monday. And when he said that to me, I'm like, man, first thing I thought, it went the way D was saying. But then you know what? Some said, you know what? Let him have it. He just said, let him have it. See, when God come in your life, you forget about all things that you would think when you was regular. You would just do it. Because that's what God do for all of us. You understand? So he just come in and do it. We don't know why. You don't know why he do it for, but he do it for us. So that's what my thing was tonight. Like, I hear people come on the program, and I appreciate you coming on. But the thing is, when you come on the program, always acknowledge Cadillac, baby boy. You understand what I'm saying? And the grudge world, because everybody is somebody on this program. It's not no small eyes and no little you. I don't get on the program
and go west. So-and-so, you didn't say this. It's not about that, but still, you got to pay homage, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't say much, but, you know, I let you guys do what you do, man. But me, I'm a real cat. I don't stand for no BS. I'm just that dude. But I just like love, man, and helping people and do what I can for them. But, you know, when D came and he said what he said, it made me reflect back. Reflect back on my life, dude. God has blessed me. I am a blessed man. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't know what a blessed man is, God has blessed me to have my health and strength to be the age that I am. I don't have to take no medicine. I don't have to. I hear Joe going through right now, man. We got to, you know, keep him in our prayers. I know I'm jumping all around, but, you know, we just got to, you know, keep in contact with one another. These shows are just more. I want this show to be more than just like everybody else show, man. I'm not with all that rip ride and that heat ride and all that confusion, man. We show love over here, man. We can talk. Everybody get what they want to get out. Get it out, man. That's what it's about over here, man. But, you know, like I say, man, this Long Island Joe, he's a good brother, man. So we just want to keep him in our prayers and keep Junior in our prayers, man, and just pray for one another, brother. That's all I say, man. I'm on mute, man. I appreciate y'all tuning in, man.
Hey, Cadillac, that's Greg.
Yes,
you know, a lot of times out here in this world, people measure, you know, their finances, you know, to be how their character turns out. But, you know, that's exactly the wrong way to do it. You know, you should be a man first, with money, without money. You know, all of us have had tragic situations in our life at some point, or some that we felt like. Me, I've had one, and you've had one too. You know what I'm saying? But through the tragedy that we had, we had to make the best of it, bro. And in order to be able to get through that and make the best of it, we had to lean on God. You know, at some point or another, you know, you're going to have to go there. You're going to have to unwilling.
Hey, Drag, hey, you know what you just said, man? You said a whole lot, man. God has brought us, man. I remember when I first saw you. Man, I ain't like you, man, because you was knocking all my buddies off, man. But I liked it, you. I didn't hate you. I just like, man, that dude come over here, he be knocking us off, man. What he got in that car? But mm-hmm. It made me sit back and watch him. I watched mm-hmm. everything you did. You didn't see me, but I seen you. I seen you in places you would have never thought you would have been at. And I was there, but you didn't never see me. I saw you. But mm-hmm. it was just a thing that, man, we admired one another. You know, I admired you, man. I still admire you because you a wisdom young brother, man. You know, mm-hmm. like I say, these shows, man, the only thing you got to do is just listen. You'll find out a whole lot, bro. And it's on mm-hmm. a whole different magnitude, dude. There ain't nobody tearing one another down. I ain't got to call you a H or call you a B and disrespect you and all like that, man. It's not about that. It's about real right. men sit down and having a discussion. And, you know, right. sometimes you say, well, that guy, he ain't really talking about. But dude, what you got to do is just listen. You will learn something. It's like I was right. at one of my buddy's shops today, and he paint cars, and I paint cars. But I learned something. He taught me something, man, about a cooling system. He's like, man, take that pressure washer, man, put this solvent on there, and then you rinse it down. That dirt get between when you get old, sometimes you don't leave. But anyway, hey, just like that. But you get
In
between the fins there, thanks, Drag. You get in between yeah. the fans, hit that joker with a pressure washer, man, you'd be surprised how that car cool off even better. That's
yep,
even in your radiator. I didn't know that, man. I've been around cars all my life. I never knew that. So, you mm-hmm. know, if you just sit back and listen, you learn something.
That cost me $35 a man. Dude said, I'm not going to show you. He said, you don't want to pay me. I said, man, I'm going to pay you first. I know it can't be anything wrong with it. Actually, just been setting up. He said, you don't yeah. pay me. You don't pay me. I said, I'm going to pay you first. Let me see what you're doing. He took some boiler acid and a water hose around, and I could see that mud running out. And the more that mud running, the clearer that water, the cooler the air conditioning got.
The cooler the air conditioning runs, the condenser.
The condenser. I couldn't think of the condenser. So I told y'all when y'all get up there, you kind of fall off a bit, but it come back to you slowly but surely. But the condenser, man, that tripped me out, man.
I'm going to tell you something. Give me a second here, baby. And it's real simple, man. You know, I created God. You know, he made us all in the likeness of him. But one thing that he did, he gave us 2 ears and one mouth.
Amen.
You know
amen.
You know why he gave us one mouth and 2 ears? So we can listen twice as much as we talk.
There you go. There you go.
Hey,
guy, can you
hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Good. Hey, Drag, I want to say this to you real quick. Do you remember about 2 years ago, I was at 41, I was having a problem with my car. I said, Drag, what do you think it is? And you never treated me like I'm less than you, whatever that, but I said, Drag, what do you think about my car? I said, man, I kind of think this, kind of think that, you know? I'm going to tell you something about Drag. I'm going to say that. I'm going to get this real quick. Drag is one brother. No, in fact, he's one man that will do anything for to help you. When he says something, he will help you. He will. Now, D, I'm going to get back to D and Cadillac. I'm going to get back to Uncle Larry, too. Uncle Larry preached 3 years ago about fellowship among us. I don't even get on the show. I mean, I'm running the board. I don't even get on these damn shows. But, man, if y'all don't start to listen when people are talking to you and then fight for yourself, you are a lost cause. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is that, man, I've met some good people in my life. I call Cadillac and Mr. D, and they're like, hey, man, what's going on? They know what I'm going through. You know, hey, man, you know, just hang in there. Lord going to take care of you. Just hang in there. You know? And this show tonight, dude, y'all inspired me a lot tonight, you know? It's like, I need to get my butt and go to church Sunday. That's all I'm going to
see, that's what it's all about. That's what it's about. For the ones that we can touch. You know, the ones that we can't touch, they're going to pick their lesson up later on in life. But for the ones that we can touch, it's about going out and saving the lost sheep. That's written in the word, man.
I want to thank all my brothers. I want to thank all y'all, Uncle Larry. I love you, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Drag, keep doing what you're doing. Baby boy, keep doing what you're doing. Okay, don't let nobody even say what they want to say. Baby boy, you people are saying I heard the duty shows when you're doing them. Cadillac, D. Man, y'all my boys. I mean, y'all call me every day, Kev, what's going on? Are you okay? You need anything? You know, it's like, dude, if we don't get back to where we used to be and get back to what we were trying to do, we're a lost cause.
Before you go on mute, I just want to say something to you, man. Before I do these shows and before I start getting on the radio and start talking and people start listening and, man, who Baby Boy is and this and that and this and that and this and that, I have some negative and I have some positive. And before I get on my show, every day, man, every time, man, I get on this show on Friday night, guess what I do? I take a moment out for God and give him all the praise to have a very good show and be knowledgeable about drag racing and life itself, because that's where I come from. You understand what I'm saying? So it means the world to me to have the true 100% guys is on the show that frequent the show, such as drag. Drag don't know what he means to me personally off the show, because it transpires to people don't know me. Yeah, you don't know me as far as me having a car or nothing like that, or me being the tracker at the drag racing and actually drag racing. But I got the respect from Mr. Melvin, Uncle Larry, Uncle Drag, Uncle Greg, Uncle this, Uncle that, and they respect and they know who I am. So that makes me as valid as the next fan. You feel what I'm saying?
The thing of it is, Kevin and baby, if I die tomorrow, I want a person to respect me as the man, not the racer. You know what I'm saying? Because racing is something that I enjoy doing, and I got a lot of years in it, so I've gotten good at it. But respect me as a man, the person that I am. You know, the person, the way I treat you, you know, as an individual.
Hey,
I don't care, man, who it is.
Drag, you 100% right, man. I mean, that's all I ask. I mean, a lot of guys told me, I had a guy tell me, said, man, you'll never do what you can do with your car. Okay. And I'm hard-headed. You know, I'm like, okay, well, prove me wrong. Now, I met Drag, and Drag, I kind of see something today. I met you and D back in 99, 2000. I mean, you had the red, that orange Nova. I'm going to tell you a story. We're down there in Indianapolis one weekend. So I'm thinking I'm hot shit. Baby boy, go out. I need your little help here a minute. Now, so I'm thinking I'm hot shit. So I seen this Nova guy. That's good. Damn, I say, no. I said, okay. Damn thing rolling. So now I see these boys with these Buicks. This is the first time I met Donye and Mr. D on them. I said, never seen no Buick running hard. And they come over and said, man, we got a Buick. We want you to run. So you want me to run? And I never forgot that Buick's day. It was a cute yellow Regal. That down there had a quadrigenic thing. I said, man, all right, I'll run y'all. And then I had to mess with my transmission, put my transmission in the car. And I had so many guys, I had Drag come over and say, man, you all right? And they said, man, we got the power line. And I had 350 in my car at the time. Man, whatever you need, we got you. That's what I want to say. Uncle Larry, he's been preaching this for the last 3 years. He's been telling everybody, let's get back to what we used to been doing. When we was drag racers, not thugs, we was drag racing, and we got back to work. If you need it, let's do it. And like I said, I always have respect for everybody on this phone line. I appreciate you. I love you all, you guys. I love all you guys. But I'm telling you, man, we need to stop the BS and keep it and get it back to where it used to be. I don't care if I got $50 or $100. That's all I got. If I'm gonna run, I'm gonna run you. Like I told Mr. D, me and D talk. I said, D, when the hell can you make $500 in, I just told him a scenario, in 12 seconds? That's all I got to say, guys. Baby boy, I'm proud of you tonight. You're doing an excellent job, and keep on going. And just keep it going.
Hey, Big Drag.
Yeah, I'm here, baby. I'm listening.
I was going to tell you OC sick. He got prostate problems. And Jesse Lee, they wanted to come on the show this tonight, but I'm gonna have them on next weekend. So those guys was very prevalent. The guys who I'm talking about, the Big Drag, whoever listening in, they was very prevalent drag racing and when I was coming up as a kid, and drag as well. Drag can speak on those guys and stuff like that. So I was just letting you know, Drag, Trice a little under the weather, but he's going to try to make it out. So I'm going to have him on next weekend, him and Jesse Lee, and hope and pray that we have a better show than we had tonight next weekend.
Okay, I'll make sure I'll be on. You know, those guys were definitely entropy guys in drag racing, you know, especially early on. Actually, those guys were somewhat of people.
Hey, Drag, is Mr.
Yeah.
Melvin on? Mr. Melvin
is on. He's just on mute.
Okay.
Melvin on mute.
All right, because, I was saying about it. Melvin's at work. But Melvin does freaking the shows. He always supports the show every Friday, Saturday night. But Melvin's one of the guys, people don't know. And if anybody needs it, if Melvin tells me to do it, I will mail you the DVD of Melvin racing when he was younger, on the streets and everything else. But Melvin took it to another level. And Melvin Go ahead, sir.
I know Melvin a long time myself. You know, I know Melvin and I know Cannonball. What's his name? He got the Malibu. I met them both. I met them years ago running the Super Chevy shows back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been knowing them guys that long. Melvin, Doc. That's Doc is his name. And then it used to be another
Doc
dude.
Doc James.
Yeah, I know Doc James, and I know it was another dude from Detroit. A tall dude had a 71 or 72 Malibu. It was light blue. It wasn't Melvin. It was another guy. But I know all them guys from back
Melvin,
in the days.
Melvin could tell you who that was who owned that car. But it's just good that, you know, people want to
talk about Pontiac Sound with the Chevelle. Big Sam with the Chevelle out of Pontiac. Right.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
He's on Melvin.
And
Melvin.
The other doc he's talking about in St. Louis is Wendell McCourt. All right.
Yeah, I know all them guys. You know, we used to all go to the Super Chevy shows together.
Yeah,
we was always right. They had fast cars there.
Right, hey, Drag. Let me tell you about Sam. Sam used to run a Chevelle. And Melvin, please help me out if you can. Sam used to run Chevelle, and when Melvin said tonight he was talking about flipping a ramp truck, this man still to this day puts his car in a ramp truck. But he was a Division III winner, and Melvin probably get the correct date when he was. But we have done a lot in this game. Let's talk now you have done and race and have fun, you know. I thought I can call Drag, and which Drag has done. I can call D. I can call Lear. I can call Uncle Lear. I can call Leroy. I can call him. They all told me, man, whatever you need, we got you. Did y'all hear Drag last week? And Drag said, hey, Kevin, bring your car track. I'll put the valve springs up for you. It wasn't about he was feeling something for me. It was about he know I'm going through something right now. He like, hey, man, just get out. I'll take care of you. Give me 2 hours. There's never time I walk to Drag and say, hey, Drag, what you think? Or what you think, or what's going on, you know. And this type of people I like to be affiliated with, you know. Like old Larry said, fellowship. Stop the bullshit, man. You know, let's become one and race and have a good time. I mean, what's the big problem?
Well,
Go ahead, sir.
If we can invent a remedy for all the BS that goes on, we could probably get rich selling it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's everywhere you go, you know. And we have to say, it's like being in prison. You know what I'm saying? You go to prison, you got the rowdy crowd, you got the people that stay out to themselves, you got the Christians. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Choose where you're going to go, you know. And that's kind of what we got here in the race game. You know, you got the clowns, the ignorant son of a gun, you got the jokers that mind their own business, and then you got the cliques, you know.
You know, I'm with you, Drake. I just, you know, I want to thank Baby Boy and Alex for, you know, opening show up. And D, you're a bad boy. You and Drake showed me a lot in life, you know what I'm saying? I mean, even with this guy, I can call Drag, but hey, Drag, what you think about this? Hey, man, I think this and that. Like Drag said, diversify for yourself. The man said it 2 hours ago. That first of all, I'm going to teach you what I can tell you, what I've dealt with, and what I've done. I had a buddy call me today. He got a Malibu, little street car. They go up and cruise and stuff. He's, hey, man, my car popping and banging. Do you know he broke a valve? Broke a valve, and the stem was kept pushing the valve back up. And I told him, man, you check out. He said, yeah, I did. And he said, well, man, you might be coming by the house. I said, man, you know I'm on crutches. I said, okay, man, I'll come by the house. So I looked at the car, and I looked at it, and I said, there's something right. So, you know, I said, well, he said, well, I stopped the car, you know, blah, blah. And I said, man, you see that valve spring broke? The stem broke? He said, no. I said, you good. I said, you don't realize how much money you just saved. The Lord blessed you. He said, what? I said, that piston is pushing that valve back up. But that valve was broke right in there. And he looked at me, and he looked at me again. He said, man, everybody in my house looked at me. I said, man, we had it happen to a motor 3 years ago, 10 years ago, about 4 years ago, where the piston was, guy told us. He said, man, y'all was lucky. He said, man, y'all was doing pushing the piston back up. And I try to explain to you guys, listen to Drag. Listen to D. Y'all be thinking D guys ain't, man, these guys are crazy. These guys ain't been where they been and spent the money they spent, you know? Listen to them. I'm done, guys. Go ahead and do your show.
Hey, Drag, Mr. D, I want to ask y'all something. You baby boy, Cat, like everybody on the show here that's in that Chicago area there. Have any of you guys ever been out here in October for that Cool Nicole thing we have out here?
Nah, I haven't.
Oh, man, let me tell you. I'm just going to be honest with you. Every car that was ever made shows up here that week doing Cool Nicole. I mean, from Superbirds to Ugly-Ass Matadors, AMC.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? They ride around in tea buckets and the old 1913 car. You wind up with, you know, like a sewing machine. It's everything here, man. I mean, fat boys, low riders, whatever you want to see is here.
My brother was there last year. He told me about it. Cruising coast. Him and his wife went down there for it.
Yeah. It's awesome. Look, I tell you what. If you decide to come this way, give me a call and let me know. My wife works at the Quality Inn Hotel up there. And I'll get you some discounts on those.
I'm going to be coming back down south pretty soon there, Big Daddy, because I ain't been down to spend no time with my mother or my brothers this year. And when it was time for coming to Fat Tuesday this year, I was closing on the building. So I didn't get a chance to go down south to the race. But I'm going to be there 40 years out.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, my other brother just made it there today from Delaware. He went down there. We usually all meet up together, so I'm going to be there within another month or so. I'm going to be back down south.
Well, if you want to come to Gulfport and you want to spend a night down here or whatever on this coast down here, just let me know, you know what I'm saying? And the hotel is about 2 miles from the beach, so, you know what I'm saying? It's right on 49, the main highway, so you're good there, right across the street from the Walmart. So you're good to go there, you know what I'm saying? Everything is centrally located right around it. You got Krispy Kreme donuts and Wendy's and all these different stores and restaurants right around it.
Okay. Well, I'm looking right now still. I think I got your number, Big Daddy. Hold on. I'm more.
Just try.
No problem. 228-234-1132.
I got 228-834-1132. Right. I got you. I got you.
Hey, Drag. I got his number for you.
Go ahead, Kev.
Drag, I'll text it to you. No problem.
Okay, that's cool.
This show tonight, man, I mean, it's a beautiful thing, dude. I mean, if guys don't start to realize that we can talk, I mean, we get technical, so technical what you got in your motor, but just that, you know, man, I'm happy to be able to listen to the show. I mean, Baby Boy and Cadillac, I'm putting a hell of a show tonight. You know,
you know what I really want to see out of this, Kevin. Man, I don't mean to cut you off. I want to see some drag racing, man. These guys get to them tracks, man. These upcoming events and stuff like that, man. Race, man. If you got that much nerve to bring your car, and you think you can whoop somebody, and you got a few dollars to bet, guess what? Run them. If not, you don't run your car down the track anyway. So, I feel, baby boy, if you got the car at the track, run for a couple of $100. Don't stress your, let your house hurt for a drag race. And let's race, man. Let's get back to it, man. We've got to start with Big Drag. We've got to start with me. We've got to start with Jerry. We got to start back to engaging. Like we said, it ain't nothing but putting it down and talking about it. We got to do it. We got to do it. So, you know, like
Baby, just me and you talking, right?
Right, right.
Baby, you know, I'm from the metro area. You're from Chicago, right? You know, you faster than me.
It's metro,
hey,
too.
Baby, you know, you.
It's metro,
you know
too,
what I'm saying? Right. But I'm saying, baby, you know, you want to do it for 100, 200? Am I disrespecting you?
No, I'm not.
Baby, you've been saying this for a while, and people ain't picking up on. Like Drag was saying, stop and sit down and listen. Sometime we can have fun and keep it going.
And keep it going. You know, you got beat. If you win 200, that's 200 to the good. To go back home, when you have 200, when you got to the track, you better 200 more. And guess what? You won or you lost. Just, you know, you got.
Well, baby boy,
let
me say this to you, baby boy. I listen to these guys all the time. I watch them race. And this is, I hear them say this all the time. Oh, man, if you don't have $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 raising me, I can't race you. I got too much in my motor. I spent too much for gas. Okay? You go out there and you make 6 or 7 buy runs by yourself. You don't waste that gas money right there for nothing. You know what I'm saying? You will never, with emphasis on it, recover the money you have spent to build an engine. You will never do it.
You're damn right. It's Drag. I mean, no disrespect. Let me say
one thing. Everyone that's lying.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone that says Trevor is lying.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I'm saying, though, D. Go ahead, Kevin. Can I tell you something real quick?
Everybody on the line, Baby Boy, D, dragging on my cars, right? I had a guy go around, and we leave him on Sunday night. They invited me to come, had a good time. I said, man, you know what? He's nice. I've got you in high school. That's okay. He said, man, I'll give you $20,000 for this car. I looked back at both my sons, and I promised them, this car is yours. I told them from day one. If I die, the car is yours. But I told him, I said, man, for $20,000, he can have it. He can have it. I said, dude, you want me to help you deliver to your house? He said, man, I'll call you Wednesday. Never got the call. I mean, it's cool. I mean, you know, some people talk and whatever do. But it's just that it's true. You'll never recoup whatever you got in these cars. People need to stop that BS.
Exactly.
Look at Drag. I mean, Drag took a loss last year.
Oh,
that was the most prettiest cars, man, I've ever seen in my life. I had Drag in Alabama.
And I admire Drag because most people would never recover from that loss. Never.
And you know. And see, that's what I was trying to get to, Big Daddy and Kevin and Drag. I was just trying to say, well, if you take your car down the track for $5,000 or $3,000 or $2,000 or $500 or $2,000 or $15,000, what have you, and you take that car down the track and you ain't raced it, you just trying to test it and stuff like that, you spend all that money in that motor. Back to what you were saying, Mr. Big Daddy. Oh, I ain't gonna run you. I got too much money tied up in it. He can blow just going down the track with nobody on the side of him, can he?
Well, hell, he can blow it up pulling it off the trailer.
Yes, sir. And Drag, what you were just saying, a buddy of mine called me today. And he was like, man, I can't figure out what's wrong with my car. And he was just telling me stuff. I'm like, well, man, really, you know, he's like, but he called everybody I grew up with and people that built motors in my area, and he was like, man, it's in the valve. I said, well, you know, I'm trying to, like, well, did you take a stethoscope and try to check this? Y'all said, did you check to see if the valve stem had broke? The sun gun broke so bad at drag, it was so close to the valve, that all the piston was doing was pushing the motor, pushing it right back up. I said, "Are you lucky?" He's like, "What?" I said, "Dude, I said, I'm gonna start the car up. I said, I'm gonna let it run for like 2 or 3 seconds. I said, I want you to watch this one cylinder. Matter of fact, it was number 6. I said, watch that valve system keep pushing up." He looked at it, kept looking at it, and looking at it. He said, "Man, get out." He said, "Man, everybody over here. Everybody over here looking at my car." He said, "Oh, man, they're wrong." I said, "Dude," I said, "a lot of times that happens." I said, "It happened to us a couple of years ago. Me and my cousin left the Soul Knot, not Soul Knot, we had a Buffalo Soldiers race back in 09, and my cousin, we had a tapping sign. We were like, damn, what's wrong with the motor? Come to find out, we leave that day, I broke out. He broke, well, he couldn't really run. And I said, well, I'm headed back to Michigan. He headed back to Cincinnati. He calls me like that Sunday. He said, man, we've had to take the motor out. He said, I'm going to take over the guy who helped me build the motor. I said, okay, I'm going to take it over. He said, the guy took the head off. He said, take the head off this damn valve. So, right in the cylinder. He said, man, he said, what the heck? I said, you fucking. He said,
hey,
man, that's first time. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin.
Go ahead.
Crazy or something, I don't know, something like crazy or something.
Huh?
I can't hear nobody. I'm listening to you, but I just kind of raggedy. All right, that's better.
But listen to this here. This is another thing about this big money racing deal. There was a race here in Hattiesburg a few years back. It ended up being somewhere in the neighborhood of like $20,000 per side. And this one guy was betting all the money. And he knew that he couldn't afford to lose that money, but he was one of those guys, his ego was so big, his car was so fast. The car got out there and got out of shape. He couldn't lose the money, so he wouldn't get out of it. Went down there and tore the car and tore himself up and ended up in the hospital behind it. Now you got a tore-up car, you got a tore-up behind, and now you're in the hospital with a couple $100,000 over hospital bills. All because you're trying to bet something that you can't afford to do. You get out there, and you know what I'm saying? Those people, a lot of people get out there, they can't afford to lose that money. They will not get out of those cars, man. So, you know, a lot of people say anything can happen in drag racing, but 9 out of 10 times, the bad thing is going to happen to you in drag racing like that. That car will lose. All you can do, when cars get so fast, and drag and vice versa, and Brother D and a few other people, when cars get so fast, and I'm just going to say, on the other side of the 9-second barrier or so, all you can do is point and aim that car and hope it go down that track straight. And you better have a good chance.
Hey, Mr. Big Dad, you know who said that today? The birthday boy, old Dancer. Dancer say, when you smack away from there, in that first, when that first second, you have no control of that car. You got to actually drive that car. If the car's wilding or whatever, you dig what I'm saying? It's like a blur. You know what I'm saying? You got to be used to what you're doing. If you ain't no driver, nothing like that, guess what? You'll hurt somebody. You'll hurt yourself. It's a whole lot of variables that you got to look at.
That's all right, man.
Hey, baby.
Yeah?
Did everybody listen to Mr. Five-Speed? Mr. Five-Speed was on the show about 2 weeks ago. He said he's racing his car and he puts in fives on it. He said something that shook me up. He said, I drove my car down through there. It's like a rare one to come around. I've had that happen before. And I'm sitting in the car like, you know, Marco was always telling me, man, don't even drive from the steering wheel, drop from the seat of your ass. And I apologize to everybody. I want, you know, no disrespect, but said that to me. And when Mr. Feinstein said that, dude, I was like, oh my God. I'm like, is he for real?
Drag had a wreck, and he was driving the car. Drag had a wreck to where the back of the car trying to catch up with the front of the car. That wheel was cutting.
Yes,
and you dig what I'm saying? He on that little tie, and he can point, and he can ride anywhere you can ride. You can ride to 13, 20. He ride through there. and he say the wind constriction got him to well. The back of the car trying to catch up with the front. I say, Jack, what you mean? He say, listen to what I'm saying to you, baby. He say, man. He said, I got that little town. He said, the back of the car moving around and all this old mess. And he said, I think that's why his knees so bad now. He hit his knees on the dashboard. Stop suspension car, man. Stop suspension, all the seats in it, all that old stuff. He got in that car and drove that car old Nova. The man had old Nova. I don't know what year that car was. I think it was maybe a 79 or I mean, it might have been a 79 or a Nova. Not 79, 69 Nova. And man, he drove that car, man. He wrecked the car. Sold the car. And he's like, man, dude, that's wild. He said, man, I would never ride no little tires no more. I see why. I see why, Big Dad, out there, Kevin, I really do see why, man. You know, when you're going that fast with that little tire, a tire can only expand like a 13, let's say a 1600 tire. What they got on top fuel jack is 1700 inch slicks on the back of that car.
1734, I think that's what they are.
Okay. Now, when that car gets at the 330, The tire itself don't be fat like that. The tire rolls
about five
like
or nine inch slick through up the middle.
That thing get tall, man. So the what I'm saying to you guys, the guys that don't know and stuff like that, the fans that's listening, that tire grows so much. It's barely sitting on the actual ground because the power that you land down. That's the reason you got big tires in the back and little skinny tires in the front to try to steer this thing, this rocket. It's basically a rocket.
And you
especially with that little tire on it. You know they got the drag radios now that the tire just basically, you know, stays like it is. And there's a lot of people that don't want to really run no run guys that's used to, you know, Tony Barnes ain't gonna run no a guy that's got a drag radio on and he know he can fly just as fast as him. He ain't gonna get go ahead.
Check out me real quick. You know, some of the guys are saying I'm gonna get on this right here. I'll say this real quick. I'm not gonna talk about what the South do and what's North do. But what I'm saying is that one of the guys in the show tonight said, be safe about it. And all I'm saying is that if you feel that you're in a situation that you can't do it, just be done with it, man. You know, I apologize. I didn't mean to say it. But YouTube has fucked up a lot of shit and made it good and bad. Tony Barnes has done his thing. But you got to look at that. There's some guys out there that can do some more stuff, but how bad is it for a guy to drive a car on a smaller tire? Come on, guys, think it's safe. If drag feels more comfortable on a 1433 and I'm running on a 10.5, that was my choice to run it. That's all I'm saying.
Guys got to stop all this
craziness.
You know what Cadillac Joe say? Stipulation. And Big Perm, I'm going to go back to what Big Perm said. Big Perm said you wasting parts on another person's car when you see a person that look like you. Or you think a guy that's not capable of whooping you and he look like you and you still won't engage. Man, engage with them people, man. You think I there ain't to let you, the YouTube, or anything else deter me from running Mr. Big Daddy. If I think I can beat Mr. Big Daddy or drag, guess what? I'm not going to look up under your hood. I'm not going to look up under the... I say, hey, drag, I'm going to race you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Big Daddy, I'm going to race you.
Hold on a second. Let me help you out right there. Okay, just say, Mr. I drove from here and Mississippi to Chicago up there to race you. And I pull up there, and you sitting in your stock suspension car. And your stock suspension car go out there and run a 1050.
Yeah, I pull up on you, and I got a Nova with 1432 tucked under, funny car roll cage, parachute on, a wheelie bars hanging out the back about 2 miles down the street. And I get up there in my car and run 12. But you scared of my car because of the way it looked. Do your homework. Go out and scout these cars and see what they're doing.
Well, that's what I
was. Hold on. Can I say one thing?
Wait,
now, you know what, Mr. Big Daddy?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said something. You made me think about back in the day. Back in the day, guys would put big tires on their cars to intimidate you, and their cars were slow. But, hey, they would put them big tires on there just to see if you would go. And half the cars that had big tires couldn't get out their own way. They couldn't even do a dry hop, man. But they had them big tires on there, and drag, no, they had them glass packs on there making a whole lot of noise. It won't do nothing. I'm going over
you. The big tires would choke them down. You go to try to spin and choke them and shut them off. He cut off. Seen it happen too many times.
Well, that's saying a lot due to the fact that, you know, it's still an intimidating factor in the grudge game and the grudge community, because due to the fact that we do have YouTube.
But maybe what you're forgetting, most of these people that sit in this game now, what they do is they go to YouTube and they see the Tony fans and they see the other guys and all the offline, and then the first thing they do, they have a little money. Well, I'm going to get me a car, and I'm going to go out here, and I'm going to, and you know, and a lot of them got the big head. I'm not going to let nobody drive my car. I'm going to drive my own car, and they don't know nothing about drag racing. They can't drive the car, and you know what I'm saying? And that's where the problem comes in. You don't look like me. You don't do this, that, and other because they're getting whooped. And then they win a race. They don't know how to act. Then they want to bet you $4 million if they can.
Well, you know, that's what I was really getting at. You know, due to the fact that, you know, we got YouTube is more accessible to see another guy run from another state, more so just in Chicago, you know, or just in Mississippi, or just down in the heart of Orlando, Florida, or the heart of Sacramento, the guys that's in San Antonio, that in Texas and stuff that really and Canada, they got some guys in Canada that can run too now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so don't get this stuff twisted, man. Drag racing is that it had been involved many years ago before I was basically here, because I heard stories about and cars, and I was looking at US 30 at Gray Lowe's banquet, and I was just looking at certain things, Mr. Big Daddy, and I'm like, ah, dog, they've been drag racing there since I was in my daddy's nutsack. Yeah.
But listen at this, baby. Let me show you something about these big motors. Okay, 2008, we went to Orlando, World Street Car Finals down there. Fast street car in the world, you know, deal. The bump stock that race was an 820. And the smallest motor that was in that race was 632 cubic inches. And these cars are just like regular little street cars riding around on the street. Some turbo, some nitrous, some pro charge, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And like Drag always say, these are the guys that's going to spend his money to TRZ and all these different chassis shops and stuff to get all this suspension work did. You know what I'm saying? And they're not class cars. They're street cars. But, you know what I'm saying? If you had the money to buy one of these cars, which would probably cost you about $100,000, you know what I'm saying, you would be very, very dangerous, because, you know what I'm saying, now I'm going to tell you what the cars are now. They are called Five Outlaws. That's what the cars are now.
What do the extreme thing come at it? What is extreme? because they say extreme back half, extreme stock suspension, extreme. What the hell is that?